Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News, our live edition. I'm David Knight with Jakari Jackson and Joe Biggs. We're going to be covering the third GOP debate. This, of course, is being held by CNBC. They're going to be focusing on economic issues. They said they want to try to add a little bit more gravitas by focusing on what they view as important issues in the race, particularly the economy tonight. They say we're going to dig a little deeper into detail and specifics. I want to try to pin these candidates down on the specifics of their policies rather than hearing that they like puppies and apple pie, said Betty Quick of CNBC. But, of course, we just saw, and I don't know if you picked up that feed, they have protesters out in front of the debate.
Giant puppets.
That was quite accurate. That was spot on, don't you think? I think probably even a better metaphor than that was what happened today with the blimp, guys. That runaway inflation that we've got with the blimp that came untethered.
Yes.
I mean, that, if you want a metaphor for what's going on with the economy in Washington, it's that out of control military blimp that went on a
power-taking rampage.
That's right. It cut people's power, which is exactly what's going to happen with the economic crisis. Well, actually, that's what happened today with the budget deal that John Boehner passed. Now, two big things happened today with the House. And, of course, we're talking about a presidential race that's a year away. But today, there were some major changes in the House. Of course, John Boehner was forced out by conservatives this summer. Before he left, he decided he would have a handpicked successor. That is going to be Paul Ryan-O. We need to get that hashtag trending, hashtag Ryan-O. I think we all need to put that out there because that's precisely what Paul Ryan is. He's another Ryan-O. He's somebody who has always supported open borders. He's worked to keep the secret trade deal, and that's precisely what's going to be happening. Now, today, they've not had the full vote, so it's not official, but today the GOP House voted, and they had 200 votes for Paul Ryan, only 43 for his opponent, Daniel Webster. So that's only one in six Republicans who voted against a Ryan-O for House Speaker, somebody who's going to continue John Boehner's legacy. That means that 83% of the House GOP is just fine with business as usual. And that's precisely what's going on. As a matter of fact, Paul Ryan is very eager to distance himself from what's going on here. This is a an article from CNN. He says, all I can say about this process is I think it stinks. This isn't the way to do the people's business. We're going to be under new management. We're not going to do the people's business this way. And he criticized the closed door dealings, except this is a guy who helped to ram through the TPP, the Trade Promotion Authority. Mm-hmm. And when people questioned him on it, he said, like Nancy Pelosi said, we're going to have to pass it to find out what's in it. And he goes, well, the people will find out what's in it once it's passed. Well, it was passed 23 days and counting ago, and we still haven't heard anything about that.
Well, he's given these criticisms because he's not in the debate. You know, if he had things to actually get out there on a platform and speak to the American public, he wouldn't make these type of criticisms.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to see what happens with the Republicans. I don't think, and we all know, nothing is going to change. You've got Nancy Pelosi. You've got the White House. You've got multiple speakers. You had the whip saying that he was a hardworking guy. Everybody focused on what Melissa Harris Perry said.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Racist alert.
Yeah.
That's you can't say hardworking.
Well, that's, you know, and you know, Rob, I think that was a beard.
Oh,
to
exactly.
Let, you know, get people talking about the racism so that that hardworking would sink into the subconscious. And the question is he really hardworking? This is a guy who says, well, I don't really want the job, but if you twist my arm, I'll take the job. If you give me a lot of family leave, if you do all these other things. And then he says, you know, that he's going to, I don't know if he's hardworking or not, but the question is, what is he working for? And we know he's been working for open borders. We know he's been working for this globalist trade deal. Those are the things on which we have a single party in Washington. When it comes to destroying our sovereignty, destroying our economy, they are all on the same page. We have a single
party. David, one of his big interests is actually poverty. And he's like, we're going to eliminate poverty. And we saw what happened when Lyndon Johnson tried to declare a war on poverty. Now we have more poverty. And that's what happens pretty much any time the federal government gets involved in any issue.
That's right. Ann Coulter had an essay about that, Save Us from the Kemp Boys. And, of course, Paul Ryan and the guy that he picked as his chief of staff are both guys that go all the way back to being staffers for Jack Kemp. And you're talking about that, Rob, getting rid of poverty. That was what Jack Kemp was going to do with his enterprise zones. And, of course, all they've done has just been massive crony capitalism. It's been feeding of the bureaucracy. That's precisely
what they keep spending all this money on wars and the police state and the NSA surveillance and all this stuff, they don't have any money to tackle any type of real issues here domestically.
That's right. That's right. And one of the things to watch tonight, of course, we're going to talk about the economy. How do you talk about the economy without talking about the massive federal debt? And today what they did was they passed an extension of the debt ceiling. Remember when they did that before? Barack Obama said, well, we haven't spent any money, you know, just passing the debt ceiling. That doesn't mean
raising the debt ceiling doesn't raise the debt.
That's right. It allows them to raise the debt. It doesn't technically, see, that's how they parse their words, you know, when they do that. Now, remember that it was in 2011 that the deficit was the debt was at $14 trillion. Today, they have pushed it up to $20 trillion. That's a 43% increase in just 4 years. And that's what we've got to look at. That's the GOP elephant in the room that they don't want to talk about. The fact that they are that on the same page with Obama, that they're both moving us further and further into debt.
Oh, exactly, exactly. So, you know, like I said, we're going to focus mainly on this debate talking about the economic issues. You know, I wonder what these guys have in mind as far as jobs. By and large, I haven't really heard anybody talk about how they're going to create jobs, and the jobs they do plan to create are usually government jobs.
Yeah.
It's like we mainly hear all these governors, I created X number of jobs. Well, how many of those were government jobs? You know,
most of the jobs that have been created have been government jobs. Most of the, if you look at all the jobs that have been created since we had the economic downturn in 2008, Jakari, the number of jobs that have been created are equivalent to the number of immigrants, legal and illegal, that are in the country. So
the illegals are getting all the jobs, and then Trump's going to kick them all out and build a wall. Then we'll get our jobs back and the economy will be good.
You're talking about federal jobs. That was one of the things I was going to talk about, right? Want to raise work for the government. This is an article from the New American.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They said in 2014, the average federal worker made $84,000 compared to just $56,000 in the private sector. But if you put in all of their fringe benefits, it went to $120,000, 78% more than the private sector's average.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think it was a city councilwoman in California who made more money than Obama when she retired.
Wow.
You know, it's just all this type of bureaucracy. Just like I say, if you want to raise, go work for the government.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except for the military.
Except for the military, of course.
You're not getting any raise. You're just getting a lot of free shots, a lot of heartbreak.
Because, well, I'm glad
you get a lot of free
that.
Promises. There's
because we hear, in the last presidential election, you know, we heard a lot of times Obama would threaten not to pay the government if he didn't get his, you know, this or that bill passed, you know, the sequester or whatever. Oh, I don't know if we can pay the government this week. So as a former military man, because is that the proper word? Former retired
Army Staff Sergeant Roger.
Okay, Roger. How did that make you feel, like, to hear that they're threatening not to pay the military? They do that at times.
Yeah, it's definitely nerve-wracking, especially, you know, when you're coming back from deployment. You kind of need that money to find a new apartment now because you've been gone for about a year, year and a half. And they're coming out and they're literally telling you, like, these, you know, briefings, hey, you might not be getting a paycheck.
They're not going to cut anything that's non-essential. They're not going to cut anything that isn't painful for people. They're not going to, what they're going to do is they're going to, you know, shut down the entrances to the parks when people are on vacation.
They're
going to not pay the military. Yeah, they're going to do very visible things.
Well,
things that are going to cause a lot of pain.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, they shut down the White House to the public. Meanwhile, they're going out taking separate vacations, sending the Secret Service down with the girls to Cancun or wherever they went.
Now, you're talking about passing this new debt ceiling. 79 Republicans voted for this. And guess what? Boehner and Paul Ryan O, hashtag Ryan-O, Ryan O voted for it, even though he says that this is a really bad way to do business. He doesn't like the fact that it's done in secret or anything, but of course, he votes for it. Now, interestingly enough, tonight in the debate, and there's Rand Paul right there, Rand Paul has said he is going to filibuster this new debt ceiling in the Senate. So we'll see. Tonight, if they really stick to substance, Rand Paul ought to do well because he's the only one who is really saying something different. They were just saying in the JV debate that they just finished, most of them thought that Lindsey Graham had won because he was all for big government spending on the military. Well, you can't do that and balance the budget. It's the warfare, welfare state that is bankrupting it.
You get that notion, David, because it's always like when it comes to the military, it's just a blank check. Whatever these guys need to get the job done. And of course, we want to be safe here in the States. But when we look at things like they blew up a hospital, you know, last month, and they send drones to blow up wedding parties, there's the big military spending, but very little military accountability.
Yeah, yeah. And we always have to ask ourselves, just like when we look at schools or whatever, you need to understand there's a difference between a school and an education. You have to understand there's a difference between defense spending and actually being safe and secure. Mm-hmm. Just because we spend money left and right on the defense budget because we have more planes, more ships, more soldiers, more wars. That doesn't make us safer. In many cases, it makes us less safe, just like bad schools can make us dumber, not smarter. It doesn't give us an education to have a school. So we need to separate that or take insurance and health care, all of these different things. But it was interesting, the comments that we heard, and of course, so they're still analyzing the first debate. So we're going to pick up with this once they get the candidates out there and start asking them questions. But they
and one thing, one way people can participate out there watching live right now, we have about 2,000 people watching right now on just on YouTube. This is also at Infowars.com/show. But also we have a Twitter hashtag we're attempting to take over, and we're going to go talk to Darren McBreen over in the Twitter area. So it's hashtag GOP debate, hashtag GOP debate. And that one's the CNBC. We could take over that one too. We'll monitor both of those.
Let's take it over.
Yeah, let's go to Darren right now.
Good.
No, absolutely. We want to take that hashtag over. The hashtag, first go to Real Alex Jones, and then the hashtag, use the hashtag GOP debate. And by the way, check this out. This is my own, this is our very own Twitter booth that we have set up tonight. And I will be monitoring the Twitter feeds along with Kit Daniels, who's going to join us later. And if you have questions or comments that you want to send us on Twitter, again, go to Real Alex Jones, use the hashtag GOP debate. And remember, it is your comments and it's the links that you provide and even political satire pictures. All that stuff together is instrumental in waking people up. You got to admit, there's a lot of people out there that are still stuck in the false left versus right paradigm. So together we can use things like Facebook, Twitter, social media to wake people up. So join us, join the revolution. And let's get this party started. Again, GOP debate is the hashtag. Back to you guys at the Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, Darren, there.
I just want to make a note. Did y'all see the first one of the latest tweets in there? Bring that back up. It was from Planned Parenthood. Look at that. How are you going to host a GOP debate on a campus and not invite any students? That's all they have to say? Maybe they should be running around with their 12 between their legs after all this information's been coming out with the people laughing about, you know, removing the baby hearts from bodies and watching them beat. I mean, just disgusting behavior that they seem to gloat about over and over again. So people need to take them to task as well.
There'd probably be more students at the university if they hadn't been aborted decades ago by Planned Parenthood and others like that. Yeah, at that where they're holding the debate tonight is at the Coors Center at a university in Colorado. And like I said earlier, maybe they should all have a drink of Coors every time somebody says Ronald Reagan. That kind of
thing. Yeah, they love the name drop there. They just brought out all the candidates. So they did their beauty pageant entrance. I guess they're going to take their stand behind the podium and we'll get this thing started here pretty shortly.
I forgot Chris Christie was even in this. This really depresses me to know he's still there.
So that had all the voters.
Yeah. I was hoping that guy disappeared.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to disappear, but
it's kind of hard to disappear that guy.
This is what CNBC is going to push now. They say they want to get serious issues, okay? When we were looking at the subtitles here, and again, this is going to be like, think of this as your DVD director's cut. We're going to be cutting in and letting them speak when they have something to say of interest, but we're also going to be talking over them a good deal of time. We see the subtitles that are going on up there, but of course, what they were talking about was free college, Obamacare. Those are going to be their economic issues. And, of course, a minimum wage raise, because that's essentially quantitative easing for the masses. Let's all give ourselves a phony monopoly money raise, and we can give everybody a raise, and we'll all be better off.
Let's raise everything.
Well, the thing, I just don't get that, you know, I can understand young people falling for this free college deal, but as an adult, you should know that nothing is free.
Yeah.
Who's going to pay for this, even though if that person isn't you, somebody's going to have to pay for this somewhere along the lines, and I don't see any big billionaires stepping up to fill the gap, so where's this money going to come from?
It's social engineering, Jakari. They want to get people from the age of 3 to 33. That's what they want. I mean, they even look at the Dreamers. They call young people coming here looking for a college education. They extend that all the way up to 31. They want you to stay in their educational system so you can be brainwashed essentially by them into that kind of thing. They want to keep you there as long as possible. And when you get out, they want you to have two choices. One is you can go to work for the government to erase that debt. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you're going to be an indentured servant the rest of your life. You're not going to get rid of that educational debt. You can't get rid of your college debt with a bankruptcy. You're stuck with that. So you're going to wind up being an indentured servant the rest of your life.
Yeah, the way the job market is, a lot of people, they get out, they go work at, you know, some fast food restaurant, mm-hmm. they go work at the mall, and you got this $30,000 worth of debt. You know, how are you going to pay that off? You know, it's hard enough just to pay your monthly bills on that type of salary.
They want to keep you in a government.
And get that paid for and get free inoculations.
There you go.
It's a win-win situation.
And then when you come back, they don't want to give you any benefits.
Exactly.
Yeah. They want to keep you in a government institution for at least a third of your life, and then they want to make you go to work for a government institution after that or be in debt to the government. That's precisely what this is about. But, of course, you know, it's freebie goodies, and they need to have a debate on socialism. Now, what's going to happen from the Republican side? You're going to see all the people who were governors there, just as we do with every debate. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell you how they created more jobs than anybody in history. And the only thing they could do is get out of the way. And most of them really didn't get out of the way, but they're going to take credit for that. That's what we're going to see. It looks like they're about ready to start. Let's pick up with the audio and see what they're saying.
Good evening. I'm Carl Quintanilla with my colleagues Becky Quick and John Harwood. We'll be joined tonight by some of CNBC's top experts on the markets and personal finance. Let's get through the rules of the road. Candidates get 30 seconds to answer the opening question, 60 seconds to answer a formal question, 30 seconds for follow-ups and rebuttals, all at the discretion of the moderators. We want you to weigh in from home. You'll see your tweets at the bottom of the screen. Use the hashtag CNBCGOPDebate. You can also go to CNBC.com/vote. To tell us where you stand throughout the night. So let's introduce the candidates for tonight's Republican presidential debate. On the stage from left to right, Governor John Kasich. Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor Jeb Bush. Senator Marco Rubio. Mr. Donald Trump. Dr. Ben Carson, Mrs. Carly Fiorina, Senator Ted Cruz, Governor Chris Christie, and Senator Rand Paul.
Oh yeah, they got them too.
A lot to get to tonight, so let's get started.
This
is an open question.
We're going to stick Ran over on the end so we don't have to go to him that much. That's the strategy there because he's got the only sound economic policy of all those turkeys up there.
What's your biggest weakness? So in 30 seconds, without telling us that you try too hard or that you're a perfectionist.
Here we go. What's your greatest weakness? I thought we were going to have serious questions.
So it's kind of an icebreaker.
Right, Governor Kasich, 30 seconds.
Good question, but I want to tell you, my great concern is that we are on the verge, perhaps, of picking someone who cannot do this job. I've watched to see people say no, that we should...
His biggest weakness is he can't answer the question.
...and leave our senior citizens out...
His biggest weakness is Donald Trump.
I've heard them talk about deporting 10 or 11 people here from this country, out of this country...
He's going for Carson and for Trump.
I think I saw on Comedy Central, there was a guy had his hand up him, and he was using him as a puppet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got those big puppets outside on the front lawn.
Somebody who can balance budgets, cut taxes, and, you know, frankly, I did it in Washington and Ohio, and I will do it again in Washington. If I'm president, to get this country moving again.
Governor Huckabee.
I will ignore
John,
the question.
I don't really have any weaknesses that I can think of. But my wife is down here in the front, and I'm sure if you'd like to talk to her later, she can give you
He doesn't do the dishes.
Take care of. Wait, that was me. Sorry.
If I have a weakness, is that I try to live by the rules. I try to live by the rules, no matter what they are, and I was brought up that way as a kid. Play by the rules.
Okay.
Tell you what,
one thing about Huckabee, he made the news earlier this week talking about how gun shops and gun dealers should ignore any type of executive order from Obama trying to ban the firearms.
Yeah.
So I'll give him that. I mean, I'll give him anything else, but I'll give him that as we start here.
You know, I am by my nature impatient, and this is not a...
His biggest weakness is his name is Bush.
That, that rewards that. His
you
brother.
Be patient. You
they call
be
me Jeb, and I earned that. I said before.
His daddy financed the Nazis. His brother helped bring in 9/11, signed the Patriot Act.
His grandfather was the founder of Planned Parenthood, working with Margaret Sanger.
It's never been that way in American politics before. I can't do it. I just don't believe that this country's days are going to be deeply... You know, going down. I think we're on the verge of the greatest time, and I want to fix the things to let people rise up.
Senator Rubio.
Thank you for that question. I would begin by saying that I'm not sure it's a weakness, but I do believe that I share a sense of optimism for America's future that today is eroding from too many of our people. I think there's a sense in this country today that somehow our best days are behind us, and that doesn't have to be true. Our greatest days lie ahead if we are willing to do what it takes now.
And if we create bigger government, they can solve more problems.
Greater than any other era we've had in the history.
That's all we need is more government.
Mr. Trump.
More taxes. More military spending.
I trust people too much. I'm too trusting. And when they let me down, if they let me down, I never forgive.
They're fired.
I find it very, very hard to forgive people that deceived me. So I don't know if you would call that a weakness, but my wife said, let up.
Dr. Carson.
Probably in terms of applying for a job of president, a weakness would be not really seeing myself in that position until hundreds of thousands of people begin to tell me that I needed to do it. I do, however, believe in Reagan's 11th commandment.
Oh, there we go.
Reagan. Everybody take a drink.
And awful things about my
I don't see any Coors cans.
And recognizing that
it takes shots afterwards.
This election, because we're talking about America for the people versus America for the government.
Mrs. Fiorina.
Well, gee, after the last debate, I was told that I didn't smile enough.
So we can't tell when she's smiling.
I also think that these are very serious times. 75% of the American people think the federal government is corrupt. I agree with them. And this big, powerful, corrupt bureaucracy works now only for the big, the powerful, the wealthy, and the wealthy.
What are you going to do about it?
Except she worked for Michael Hayden to help spy on the American people. Yeah.
Just Americans who've quit looking for work for 40 years.
Hewlett-Packard biometric data.
Government. This is about more than replacing a D with an R. We need a leader who will help
you
us.
You know, surveillance equipment, they should help people look for jobs.
they like to. All the now hiring signs.
Yeah, I know. Find me a job then, guy. You got these blimps up in the air.
You know, I think my biggest weakness is exactly the opposite. I'm a fighter. I am passionate about what I believe. I've been passionate my whole life about the Constitution. And, you know, for 6.5 years, we've had a gigantic party. If you want someone to grab a beer with, I may not be that guy.
Ronald Reagan.
But if you want someone to drive you home, I will get the job done.
And oh, that's kind of a... Governor Christie. Interesting take on it.
On the stage, quite frankly, where I see the weakness in those three people that are left on the Democratic stage, you know, I see a socialist, an isolationist, and a pessimist. And for the sake of me, I can't figure out which one is which.
He wants to be the authoritarian.
But
he'll be the drug warrior authoritarian.
But I will tell you this: the socialist says they're going to pay for everything and give you everything for free, except they don't tell you they're going to raise their taxes to 90% to do it. The isolationist is the one who wants to continue to follow a foreign policy that has fewer democracies today than when Barack Obama came into office around the world. But I know who the pessimist is. It's Hillary Clinton. And you put me on that stage against her next September, she won't get within 10 miles of the White House. Take it to the bank.
Senator Paul.
Slam her to the floor.
Well, only two people really answered it.
Baron Harkonnen speaks.
I was concerned about an $18 trillion debt. We borrow $1 million a minute. Now on the floor of the Congress, the Washington establishment from both parties puts forward a bill that will explode the deficit. It allows President Obama to borrow unlimited amounts of money. I will stand firm. I will spend every ounce of energy to stop it. I will begin tomorrow to filibuster it, and I ask everyone in America to call Congress tomorrow and say, enough's enough, no more debt.
Thanks to all the candidates.
Wow, that was the only action item there in that, except for Chris Christie's macho taking on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, not a whole lot of people.
Well, still the only person that answered what their weakness was Donald Trump.
Yeah.
$10 trillion Christie will pepper spray and body slam her.
And make Americans better off because your greatness would replace the stupidity and incompetence of others.
That's right.
Let's be honest. Is this a comic book version of a presidential campaign?
It's not a comic book. And it's not a very nicely asked question the way you say that. Larry Kudlow is an example who I have a lot of respect for, loves my tax plan. We're reducing taxes to 15%. We're bringing corporate taxes down, bringing money back in, corporate inversions. We have $2.5 trillion outside of the United States, which we want to bring back in. As far as the wall is concerned, we're going to build a wall. We're going to create a border. We're going to let people in, but they're going to come in legally. They're going to come in legally. And it's something that can be done. And I get questioned about that. They built the Great Wall of China. That's 13,000 miles. Here we actually need 1,000 because we have natural barriers. So we need 1,000. We can do a wall. We're going to have a big,
that would be the good time to, since we're talking about economics, talk about the economic incentives that are going to bring people in here, whether or not you build a wall. We just saw this happen in Europe. Hungary completely closed their border. What happened? People went through Slovenia and Croatia because they're going to go to Germany. They're going to go to Sweden. They're going to get there however they can, as long as they're going to get a pot of gold from the entitlement state. So that's the problem, and they want to address that. You know, 19th century, 18th century walls are not going to stop this.
Yeah, I don't think a wall, for any, but not just Trump saying this, I don't think a physical wall is going to do the job.
We're at 60 seconds.
The wall is peanuts by comparison.
We're at 60 seconds, but I got to ask you, you talked about your tax plan. You say that it would not increase the deficit because you'd cut taxes $10 trillion and the economy would take off like, hold on, the economy would take off like a rocket ship.
Right, dynamic.
I talked to economic advisors who have served presidents of both parties. They said that you have as much chance of cutting taxes that much without increasing the deficit as you would of flying away from that podium by flapping your arms really
hard. Then you have to get rid of Larry Kudlow, who sits on your panel, who's a great guy, who came out the other day and said, I love Trump's tax plan.
John, listen, I'm balanced.
Here's the reality that people don't understand. Most of our government is run on debt. That's why we have a giant cumulative deficit. And if they want to talk about the IRS and the income tax, and that's what they're going to talk about endlessly, how many levels, what percentages they should be, they're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic because they're not even coming anywhere close, even with our current tax code, to paying for what they're spending.
To a lot of voters, but I've had a really tough time trying to make the math work on this. If you were to take a 10% tax with the numbers right now on total personal income, you're going to come in with bringing in $1.5 trillion. That is less than half of what we bring in right now. And by the way, it's going to leave us in a $2 trillion hole. So what analysis got you to the point where you think this will work?
Well, first of all, I didn't say that the rate would be 10%. I used the tithing analogy.
I understand that, but if you look at the numbers, you probably have to get to 28.
You cut taxes, people will hire more people, and they'll pay them more, and there will be more taxes.
Yeah.
People don't understand that.
To get rid of all the deductions and all the loopholes.
People want to say that supply-side economics didn't work, well, because they cut the tax rate, but at the same time, they exploded spending. So if you continue to spend more, even if you get in more tax revenue, your deficit is going to go up each year, and your cumulative debt is going to go up.
Those is in a fantasy world. So also, we can stimulate the economy. That's going to be the real growth engine, stimulating the economy because it's tethered down right now with so many regulations.
You'd have to cut government by about 40% to make it work with a $1.1 trillion
hole. Oh, my God. What will we do?
When we put all,
you know, that's an interesting point. The government is expanding so quickly. Remember, just in 4 years, we've had to increase the debt ceiling by 43%.
I'm coming to you right now.
And that's something that's been going on for a long time. When Harry Brown ran for president with the Libertarian Party, he said, if you completely eliminated the income tax, got rid of the IRS completely, zero it out, how far back would you have to cut government in order to make that neutral? You'd have to go back to the government that size it was about 5 years earlier. That was when Harry Brown was running, about 15 years ago. And I suspect it's about the same thing now, maybe not even as far back, because we're growing at a faster rate.
You know, these plans would put us trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. I actually have a plan. I'm the only one on the stage that has a plan that would create jobs, cut taxes, balance the budget, and can get it done because I'm realistic.
Do you notice that all of these Republicans are getting defensive on the fact that they're going to cut the tax rates? Nobody is talking about cutting spending because this is CNBC. They're going to take any spending cuts off the table. So you got to say, well, if we cut taxes, the deficit's going to balloon because we can never cut spending. We can't cut spending on the military. We can't cut it on the entitlement programs, and we can't close our borders. All those people coming in the borders are going to be part of the entitlement program.
I was the architect. It was the first time we did it since man walked on the moon. We cut taxes, and we had a $5 trillion projected surplus when I left. That's hard work.
Governor,
fiscal discipline, know what you're doing, creativity. This stuff is fantasy, just like getting rid of Medicare and Medicaid.
You said yesterday.
Come on, that's just not... You don't scare senior citizens with that. It's not responsible.
Well, let's just get more pointed about it. You said yesterday that you were hearing proposals that were just crazy from your colleagues. Who are you talking about?
Well, I mean, right here, to talk about we're just going to have a 10% tithe and that's how we're going to fund the government. And we're going to just fix everything with
because, you know, 10% may be good enough for God,
we're just
but this government is not good enough for the federal government.
10 million Americans or 10 million people out of this country, leaving their children here in this country and dividing families. Folks, we got to wake up. We cannot elect somebody that doesn't know how to do the job. You got to pick somebody who has experience, somebody that has the know-how, the discipline. And I spent my entire lifetime balancing federal budgets, growing jobs, the same in Ohio, and I will go back to Washington with my plan, and I will present it within 100 days, and it will pass, and it will be strong again.
Mr. Trump, 30 seconds.
First of all, John got lucky with a thing called fracking, okay? He hit oil. He got lucky with fracking. Believe me, that's why Ohio is doing well. And that's important for you to know. Number two, this is the man that was a managing general partner at Lehman Brothers when it went down the tubes and almost took every one of us with us, including Ben and myself, because I was there and I watched what happened, and Lehman Brothers started it all. He was on the board, and he was a managing general partner. Okay. And just thirdly,
I think Kasich's guts are on the floor right now.
He's such a nice guy.
I think he's bleeding out.
I'm never going to attack. But then
he's now he's about to attack Trump for his casinos.
That's why he's on the end.
I think Trump just is this way.
He got nasty. So you know what? You can have him.
Let me respond. First of all, Ohio does have an energy industry, but we're diversified. We're one of the fastest growing states in the country. We came back from the dead. And you know what? It works very, very well. And secondly, when you talk about me being on the board of Lehman Brothers, I wasn't on the board of Lehman Brothers. I was a banker, and I was proud of it, and I traveled the country and learned how people make jobs. We ought to have politicians who not only have government experience, but know how the CEOs and the job creators work. My state is doing great across the board. And guess what? In 2011, I got a deal in agreement with
him,
and he tried to take credit for it 4 years later. It's a joke.
Thank you, Governor.
Becky, Dr. Carson, if you'd like a 10%. Let me give 30 seconds to Dr. Carson.
Since I was attacked, too.
Thank you.
Let me just say, if you're talking about an $18 trillion economy, you're talking about a 15% tax on your gross domestic product, you're talking about $2.7 trillion. We have a budget closer to $3.5 trillion. Mm-hmm. But if you also apply that same 15% to several other things, including corporate taxes and including the capital gains taxes, you make that amount up pretty quickly. So that's not by any stretch pie in the sky.
Becky, if you want a 10% flat tax where the numbers add up, I rolled up my tax plan today. You can find it online at tedcruz.org. It is a simple flat tax where for individuals, a family of four pays nothing on the first $36,000. After that, you pay 10% as a flat tax going up. The billionaire and the working man, no hedge fund manager pays less than his secretary. On top of that, there's a business flat tax of 16%. Now, that applies universally to giant corporations that with lobbyists right now are not paying taxes and to small businesses. And you wanted to know the numbers. The Tax Foundation, which has scored every one of our plans, shows that this plan will allow the economy to generate 4.9 million jobs, to raise wages over 12%, and to generate 14% growth, and it costs with dynamic scoring less than $1 trillion. Those are the hard numbers, and every single income decile sees a double-digit increase in after-tax income.
There's going to be a lot of fact-checking on this. Because they can throw out all these numbers and figures, and it's going to be a lot of articles.
Earlier, in the earlier debate, they had a whole fact-checking guy. He just stood there and like, well, this isn't true, and that's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of that tomorrow.
Yeah, today we're going to have more facts. Today we're going to have more numbers. And there'll be a lot of vetting of these numbers that'll have to go on tomorrow. We can't bet this real time. But again, I have to say, they're not talking about doing anything on the spending side. You notice that? Mm-hmm. This is a Republican debate. Nobody's talking about cutting spending. Evidently, everything the government does is absolutely essential to the Republicans. They can't cut anything.
get it done. We have talked about tax reform in every single election for decades. It never happens. And politicians always say it's so complicated. Nobody but a politician can figure it out. The truth is this. The big problem, we need a leader in Washington who understands how to get something done.
You want to bring
not
that
to talk about it,
pages.
Not to propose it, to
this
get
is,
it
you want to
done.
Bring the 70,
they need to start
pages.
Referring her to her not as the former CEO of HP. They need to refer to her as the fired CEO of HP. Remember, she did to their stock what the what happened to the Greek banks. They lost 50% of their value, their stocks did, as they went through this economic crisis this last summer. That's what Carly Fiorina did for HP, and she was fired. And yet she's running on her record as some high-tech CEO. Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
It's pretty ridiculous. I guess they're counting on people not to know that, which you just brought up.
Well, I tell you what, Barbara Boxer just leveled her with one 30-second commercial. She is probably the most vulnerable person running for presidency, Carly Fiorina. She will not be able to go anywhere with the record that she has.
You've been a young man in a hurry ever since you won your first election in your 20s. You've had a big accomplishment in the Senate. An immigration bill providing a path to citizenship that conservatives in your party hate and even you don't support anymore. Now you're skipping more votes than any senator to run for president. Why not slow down, get a few more things done first, or at least finish?
He's repeating the talking
start.
Points yeah, of Jeb Bush. That's Jeb Bush's talking points. That's why they came out of this meeting with mommy and daddy that Jeb Bush had this weekend. Their talking points were that Rubio, he's very concerned about Rubio because Rubio has leapfrogged Jeb in the polls, and the talking points that came out of that were come after him as an Obama senator, somebody who's not finished one term, been largely absent, and hasn't accomplished anything.
We have more businesses closing than starting. We have a world that's out of control and has grown dangerous, and a president that is weakening our military and making our foreign policy unstable and unreliable in the eyes of our allies, and our adversaries continue to grow stronger. We have they say there's no bipartisanship in Washington. We have a $19 trillion bipartisan debt, and it continues to grow as we borrow money from countries that do not like us to pay for government we cannot afford.
Want to see if he votes against this this debt ceiling increase that the House put in there. Paul Ryan said he didn't like it. He thought it was awful. They'd done it secretly behind closed doors, like the trade deals. But then he voted for it. We'll see if he'll join Rand Paul on the filibuster or if he'll even show up. Maybe he won't even show up. Yes, he's missed most of the votes. He missed the vote on CISA. He didn't vote for that.
Yeah.
But we know where he is on that.
It's actually evidence of the bias in favor of it. That exists in the American media today.
But do you hate your job?
Let me answer your question on the Sun Sentinel editorial today. Back in 2004, one of my predecessors to the Senate by the name of Bob Graham, a Democrat, ran for president, missing over 30% of his votes. I don't recall them calling for his resignation.
Is that the standard?
Later that year, in 2004, John Kerry ran for president, missing close to 60 to 70% of his votes. I don't recall the Sun Sentinel endorsed him. In 2008, Barack Obama missed 60 or 70% of his votes, and the same newspaper endorsed him again. So this is another example of the double standard that exists in this country between the mainstream media and the conservative media.
Well, it's the talking points from the Bush family that the mainstream media is picking up. I don't support Rubio. I don't think he's even qualified to run as a natural-born citizen, is my understanding of what a natural-born citizen is.
So. Constituent service, which means that he shows up to work. He got endorsed by the Sun Sentinel because he was the most talented guy in the field. He's a gifted politician.
As evidence, this is a setup, they go directly to Jeb Bush. First they ask him the talking points from the Bush family this weekend, then they go to Jeb Bush for rebuttal.
It's exactly what we saw with Hillary Clinton and Sanders and O'Malley on either side, just bookending her going, we support her, everything she does. I'm the biggest supporter of Hillary.
Exactly.
I get to respond, right?
30 seconds.
Well, it's interesting. Over the last few weeks, I've listened to Jeb as he's walked around the country and said that you're modeling your campaign after John McCain, that you're going to launch a furious comeback the way he did by fighting hard in New Hampshire and places like that, carrying your own bag at the airport. You know how many votes John McCain missed when he was carrying out that furious comeback that you're now modeling it under?
He wasn't my concern.
No, Jeb, I don't remember. Senator. Well, let me tell you, I don't remember you ever complaining about John McCain's vote record. The only reason why you're doing it now is because we're running for the same position, and someone has convinced you that attacking me is going to help you.
Well,
here's the bottom line. I'm not. My campaign.
Mommy and Daddy told me.
It's going to be about the future of America. It's not going to be about attacking anyone else on the stage.
It's always nice to see a piggy Bush squirm.
I'm not running against.
Yeah, he didn't like
Bush.
That comment.
I'm not running against anyone on the stage. I'm running for president because there is no way we can elect Hillary Clinton to continue the policies of Barack Obama.
Thank you, Senator.
I think there's a big issue.
Hold on.
I think
there's a much
bigger question for Governor Bush.
Like John Harwood, there's a bigger issue.
Are you going to talk to Rand Paul?
No. That's why I put him on the end.
They haven't said anything to Rand Paul.
So, like, he's even out of the camera shot, so you don't even have to worry about him. People just kind of forget about him.
Hey, guys, let's jump over to Darren McBreen in the Twitter room and see what's going on there.
Well, go ahead, Darren.
I'm here. I notice these guys are talking about Hillary Clinton, and the Hillary Clinton supporters are a few of them that have surfaced on Twitter, and they're showing their support for the evil Hillary right now. And in typical liberal fashion, they always automatically assume if you don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton, well, that automatically makes you a Jeb Bush supporter or just a Bush supporter in general, you know. And I've always thought it's funny how most people that like the Clintons, they can't stand the Bush family. And most people who like the Bush family, they can't stand the Clintons. But in real life, these guys actually hang out together. The Bushes and Clintons, yep. They vacation together. They hang out together. Do you guys remember when Barbara Bush was in an interview and she said that she loves Bill Clinton, that he's family.
Like a son.
And then there was that time when George W. Bush was being interviewed and he said that Bill Clinton is my brother from a different mother. And that makes Hillary Clinton my sister-in-law. You guys remember that?
That's right.
Oh yeah, it's a
look there.
Game.
They are golfing together.
What a cozy
we're buddies.
Couple! Look at that.
Yeah, yeah. It's that left-right paradigm. You know, if you're not for one of these Republican candidates, then you're for Hillary Clinton or whatever, mm-hmm. right?
They try to shame you into voting one way or another.
Exactly.
Everyone. Ms. Fiorina, I'd like to ask you a question. You are running for president of the United States because of your record running Hewlett Packard. But the stock market is usually a fair indicator of the performance of a CEO, and the market was not kind to you. Someone who invested $1 in your company the day you took office had lost half of that dollar by the day you left. Obviously, you've talked in the past about what a difficult time
he's
it
not
was
smiling.
For technology companies.
Wow.
Anybody who was following the market knows that your stock.
I've seen that look before. I can imagine what's going through her head.
If you looked at the overall market.
I'm going to claw her eyes out. That's what she's thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel
like using Jedi mind tricks on her.
Why you think we should hire you now?
You know, the NASDAQ dropped 80%. 80%. And it took 15 years from the NASDAQ to recover. I was recruited to HP to save a company. It was a company that had grown into a bloated, inept bureaucracy that cost too much and delivered too little.
You know, I think we need to do some fact checking on that.
It had missed.
I don't think that the NASDAQ declined 80% when the value of her company declined 50%. I think she was in the late, I think she was before the 2000 decline, she got fired.
Mm.
And she was fired, by the way.
On innovation, on leading in every market and every product segment. And yes, it was a very difficult time. However, we saved 80,000 jobs. We went on to grow to 160,000 jobs, and scores of technology companies literally went out of business like Gateway, taking all their jobs with them. The truth is, I had to make
Donald
some
Trump
tough
is
calls
like,
and some tough
what
calls.
Does she say?
I think actually
did you say
that?
Because he knows that it was her trying to or leverage buyout a compact that took the company down and caused massive layoffs. She's fired like 30-something thousand people, if I recall correctly. I have to fact check myself. But
publicly and said, you know what? We were wrong. She was right. She was a great CEO. She'd be a great president of the United States because the leadership HP is exactly the leadership we need in Washington, D.C.
Mrs. Fiorina, it's interesting that you bring up Mr. Perkins because he said a lot of very questionable things. Last year in an interview, he said that he thinks wealthy people should get more votes than poor people. I think his quote was that if you pay $0 in taxes, you should get zero votes. If you pay $1 million, you should get 1 million votes. Is this the type of person you want to defend?
Well, isn't that the system we have now?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's the system we have.
Nevertheless, one of the things that I think people don't always understand is how accountable a CEO actually is. So, you know, I had to report results every 90 days in excruciating detail. I had to answer every single question about every single result.
I wanted to bet she was not doing that work.
Yeah,
she was not the hard worker in that scenario. She was the desk sitter and the order giver, but she was not doing the work.
You mean, Rob, you don't think she was running around collecting the data and plugging it into a spreadsheet and creating the PowerPoint slides herself?
I'm pretty sure she was not involved in doing that.
Yeah, she might have. Yeah.
smiles in tough times and stand up and be held accountable.
Thank you. We're out of time. Thank you, Mrs. Fiorina. Carl.
Senator Cruz, congressional Republicans, Democrats, and the White House are about to strike a compromise that would raise the debt limit, prevent a government shutdown.
45 minutes and no Rand Paul.
That's right.
Washington created crisis is on the way. Does your opposition to it show that you're not the kind of problem solver?
Yeah, you should watch that, Rob, and see how far we go into the 2-hour debate before they talk, and we're nearly half over.
The questions that have been asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I like that one from Ted Cruz.
This is not a cage match. And you look at the questions. Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain? Ben Carson, can you do math? John Kasich, will you insult two people over here? Marco Rubio, why don't you resign? Jeb Bush, why have your numbers fallen? How about talking about the substantive issues people care about?
All right. I'll take that.
I'll clap for that one. That was actually pretty good.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, no, he's called.
I'm not finished yet. The contrast with the Democratic debate.
And the moderators are like, no, this is our job. This is our job.
Which of you is more handsome and wise?
So this is the question about the debt limit, which you have 30 seconds left to answer, should you choose to do so.
Oh, now he's upset.
The men and women on this stage have more ideas, more experience, more common sense than every participant in the Democratic debate. That debate reflected a debate between the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks.
And the Sandinistas.
And nobody watching at home believes that any of the moderators has any intention of voting in a Republican primary. The questions that are being asked shouldn't be trying to get people to tear into each other. It should be, what are your substantive solutions to people
who are... I just want the record to reflect. I asked you about the debt limit, and I got no answer.
You want me to answer that question? I'm happy to answer the question. Let me tell you how the question...
No, we're out of time.
Let me tell you how that...
Hey, these guys are over talking more than we are. We got to start taking back the power here.
They're going to punish him for that. That may be the last thing he has to say.
I'm interested in an answer from Senator Paul. The budget deal crafted by...
Oh, man, they skipped a rant. Wow.
They got so mad they went all the way down.
Entitlement programs, Medicare and Social Security disability, which are the very programs conservatives say need...
Christie's taking a submarine sandwich break right now.
Please be nice. Budget deficit. Do you oppose that budget deal because it doesn't cut those programs enough?
No, I oppose it because you're taking money from the entitlements and then spending it immediately on other items. That's what they're doing. They're taking money from Social Security and they're going to spend it on the military and they're going to spend it on domestic spending. Here's the thing. When you look at raising the debt limit, it should be leverage to try to reform government. In 2011, the sequester was passed as a reform to slow down the rate of government. Instead, the Washington establishment raised both. We raised military spending, took from entitlements, and raised domestic spending, and the deficit will explode under this. This is the unholy alliance that people need to know about between right
single
and
party.
Left.
Right
and left are spending us into oblivion. We should use the debt ceiling as precisely designed to force upon them budgetary reform.
Senator, if what you just said is true, why did Speaker Boehner craft this deal, and why did Paul Ryan, who has a strong
sellouts, obviously,
for fiscal discipline, vote for it?
Well, that's
the real question. Is there going to be any change in the House with new leadership? I frankly don't think there will be much change, because I think what's going to happen is you're going to get more of the same. People in Washington think they were sent there to be adults and govern and do all this. Well, you know what I'm worried about? Not keeping the government open. I'm worried about bankrupting the American people.
Yes.
We're borrowing $1 million a minute. That is important, and that's what we have to contrast. Keeping the government open and continuing to borrow $1 million.
John. Thank you, Senator. John. Thank you.
Governor Christie, I'd like to come to you with a question. Actually, I have a question for you. Megan, we're going to end. In your Tell It Like It Is campaign, you said a lot of tough things. You said that we need to raise the retirement age for Social Security. You think that we need to cut benefits for people who make over $80,000 and eliminate them entirely for seniors who are making over $200,000. Governor Huckabee, who's here on the stage, has said that you and others who think this way are trying to rob seniors of the benefits that they've earned. It raises the question question, when is it acceptable to break a social compact?
Well, I wish you would have asked that question.
They break the social contract of the Bill of Rights all the time.
I mean, let me be honest.
Especially
with the people
Chris
who are watching
Christie.
At home. The government has lied to you, and they have stolen from you. They told
Civil
you that your Social Security money is in a trust fund. All that's in that trust fund is a pile of IOUs for money they've spent on something else a long time ago. And they've stolen from you because now they know they cannot pay these benefits because Social Security is going to be insolvent in 7 to 8 years. We're sitting up here talking about all these other things. 71% of federal spending today is on entitlements and debt service. And that's with 0% interest rates. Now, I'm the only person who has put out a detailed plan on how to deal with entitlements. And it'll
Look,
save $1 trillion.
He says they're lying to you about Social Security. He's right. That's right. It's been a lie since it was created by Bismarck in Germany in the 19th century, I think it was. It was 65 was the age that they picked to give benefits because that is Baron Christie. They picked the age of 65 because that was the life expectancy in Germany. Bismarck never planned on paying anybody anything. And that's what they're talking about here. They said Social Security is in a lot of trouble because we have life expectancy has increased. That's the fundamental lie about this. But I think it's the most reprehensible thing to tell people that we are going to force you to give up 15% of your income, and that's really what it is because your employer is paying at least as much as you are. 15% of your income, no deduction, is going to go into some retirement plan. And then when you come time to retire, they're going to steal it from you. I mean, that is amazing.
It's not welfare. This is money that people had confiscated out of their paychecks.
That's what I agree with.
Every time they got a paycheck, the government reached in and took something out of it before they ever saw it. Now we're going to blame the people. Today, Congress decided to take another $150 billion away from Social Security so they can borrow more money. That makes no sense to anybody. And they're always going to say, well, we're going to fix this one day. No, they're not. It's like a 400-pound man saying, I'm going to go on a diet, but I'm eating a sack of Krispy Kremes before I do.
Krispy Kremes.
People are sick of believing the government is never going
to... Oh, that's a dick. Are they going to give Krispy equal time?
To him when he said that.
Are they going to give him equal time to respond to that?
Let's quit making it a problem for them. It's like them getting mugged, and then us saying, well, we're going to mug you some more. You ought to just be able to get over it, get used to it.
Governor.
No, sir.
Thank you.
We need to honor our
Senator
promises.
Let me
finish.
The
only time I've had a chance, let me finish.
Okay, all right.
This is a matter not of math. This is a matter of morality. If this country does not keep its promise to seniors, then what promise can this country hope to be trusted to keep? And the fact is, none of them.
And by the way, Carl,
Governor Krispy Kreme. He was talking about a 400-pound
man. The only way to keep our promise to seniors is start by following the first rule we should all follow, which is to look at them, treat them like adults, and tell them the truth. It isn't their men anymore, Mike. They stole it. It got stolen from them. It's not.
And
theirs
I'm going to hand it out to somebody else. We stole your money. We got it fair and square, just like I confiscated your car on the road. You know, he supports civil asset forfeiture. Well, this is kind of a form of civil asset forfeiture where they steal 15% out of your paycheck your entire life. And then don't give it to and give it to somebody else when you retire.
I'll give you 30 more seconds.
But I'll buy you a tequila.
Okay, all right.
or even some famous Colorado Brownies.
I'll give you 30 seconds to respond. Well,
John, since he brought me up, do I not get to respond?
Respond on the debt limit or in answer to the governor, whichever you choose.
Well, sure. Look, this deal in Washington is an example of why Washington is broken. Republican leadership joined with every single Democrat to add $80 trillion to our debt to do nothing to fix the problems. And let me note on Social Security, because we were getting into a good substantive exchange, and I'm going to say I think both Chris and Mike are right. Governor Huckabee's exactly right. We need to honor the promises made to our seniors. But for younger workers, look, I'm 44 years old. It is hard to find someone my generation that thinks Social Security will be there for us. We can save and preserve and strengthen Social Security by making no changes for seniors, but for younger workers, gradually increasing the retirement age,
changing the rate of growth so that it matches inflation, and critically allowing younger workers to keep a portion of our tax payments in a personal account that we own, we control, and we can pass on to our
Make it real simple. Just let people opt out of this confiscation scheme if they want to, at any age. If you want to get out of this, fine.
Did he say increase the retirement age?
Yeah, yeah. Increase the retirement age. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're going to retire at 90, guys.
That's right.
Jakar, you might have to retire at 90 because you're the younger one on the stage.
Yeah, I know.
You might have to keep and working there for a long time.
I mean, I don't agree with everything he said, but yeah, I definitely am not expecting Social Security to be there for me when I need it.
Well, they definitely have to get it back to make it solvent. They have to do what Bismarck did, and that is make the Social Security age of benefits the average age of people are going to die or higher. I mean, that's reality. That's what this has always been from day one.
If the government doesn't pay it, then tell me what's different between the government and Bernie Madoff, who sits in prison today for doing less than what the government has done to the people on Social Security and Medicare in this country.
Governor, thank you.
Yeah, let's put some people in jail.
We'll take a break. The Republican presidential debate live from Boulder,
Colorado. Not with this Department of Justice, no.
I think maybe we should go to a break, too, guys.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to be right back. As they take a break, we're going to take a short break.
They're not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. The key is to be aware of this attack and to fight back against it. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs harvested around the planet and then concentrated for maximum potency. I've always believed in nutrition and herbs. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality and other powerful products from InfoWars Life. Your liver can be full of fatty deposits, built-up toxins, and even dangerous objects known as liver stones. We worked with the top developers in the field of detox to take tried and true herbs and other compounds known to safely cleanse the liver and fused it with the latest research and technological development on concentrating these ingredients to give you the maximum effect. Liver Shield is the only liver support product on the market that uses a patented Spigerex blend of powerful organic herbs that support detoxification. And when you visit InfoWarsLife.com, see the instructional video on how to do a 6-day liver detox. This isn't a game, and let me tell you, the results are dramatic. Liver Shield is totally organic and made of the safest high-quality herbs. But that said, you need to consult your physician before you do the full detox. Liver Shield can also be used daily by itself for overall upkeep of the liver. Secure your Liver Shield today exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com for the lowest price available. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for. You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139. And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139. The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now,
welcome back. We're live here with the debate, and they're asking Ben Carson the tough question about profiteering, the case of the CEO trying to raise the price of pharmaceuticals. Let's see what he has to say.
Small manufacturer, whatever they're manufacturing, drugs or anything, if they have less than 50 employees, the average cost in terms of regulations is $34,000 per employee. Makes it a whole lot easier for them to want to go somewhere else. So what we're going to have to start doing, instead of, you know, picking on this group or this group, is we're going to have a major reduction in the regulatory influence that's going on. The government is not supposed to be in every part of our lives, and that's what's causing the problem.
Thank you, Dr. Carson.
This is from a guy who wants to have forced vaccinations and wants to increase the drug war.
Some bank executives
we need less
should
government
have gone
regulation.
To jail for the 2008 financial crisis. But General Motors paid more than $1 billion in fines and settlements for its ignition switch defect. 124 people died as a result of these faulty switches. No one went to jail. As a former prosecutor, do you believe the people responsible for the switch and the cover-up belong behind bars?
You bet they do. And if I were the prosecutor, that's exactly where they'd be. The fact is that this Justice Department, under this president, has been a political justice department. It's been a Justice Department that's decided that they want to pick who the winners and losers are. They like General Motors, so they give them a pass. They don't like somebody else, like David Petraeus, they prosecute them and send a decorated general to disgrace. It's a political justice department.
You don't think he deserved that?
Jim, you know
I think they should have done more to David Petraeus. I think they should do the same to Hillary Clinton.
We went after companies that were ripping off shareholders.
Oh, yeah.
We went after companies that were doing things.
He's doing the same thing he just said about it. He likes David Petraeus, so give him a pass. Hey, you know, he shared documents with his mistress. So what? You know? She served under him.
Yeah, that's right.
For, again, Does anybody out there think that giving Washington, D.C. the opportunity to run the pharmaceutical industry is a good idea? I mean, given how well they've done running the government? So what we do, though, is if there's somebody who's price gouging, we have laws for prosecutors to take that on. Let's let a Justice Department, I will make an attorney general.
Here's what the Republicans, the so-called free market guys, won't say, and we talked about this last weekend.
Thank you, Governor Christie.
Why is it that he could charge so much money? Why could he charge $13.50 a pill for something that has been in the public domain that didn't have a patent for decades? Why could he then raise it by 5,000%? Because there was no competition. Why was there no competition? Because of FDA regulations. And that's what they need to address, but they won't address that part of it. And they won't ask, they'll say this is a problem of the free market, so we need less freedom. The reality is we don't have a free market. We've got the FDA in there telling people what they can and cannot sell.
Now we have to accept 2%, the new normal for economic growth. And the net result is the middle class has $2,300 less in their pockets than the day that Barack Obama got elected president. And now they see Hillary Clinton proposing a third term of economic policy for our country. We need to reverse that. And my record was one of cutting taxes each and every year. You don't have to guess about it because I actually have a record. $19 billion of tax cuts, 1.3 million jobs created. We were one of two states to go to AAA bond rating. And our
this is what we expected, Governor. I created more jobs than anybody in history when I was governor.
The point that you made to Congress, if you were president and you were offered a bipartisan deal that had $1 of tax increases for $10.
You find me a Democrat.
Would you take it?
You find me a Democrat that will cut spending $10. Heck, find me a Republican in Congress that would cut spending $10.
So you don't want the coach to put you in anymore?
The deal was already done. The biggest tax increase happened under the watch of Barack Obama, and spending's gone up. You find a Democrat that's for cutting taxes, cutting spending $10, I'll give him a warm kiss.
Thank you, Governor.
How did your brother do in terms of cutting?
Mrs. Fiorina.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
In 2010, while running for Senate in Techridge, California, you called an internet sales tax a bad idea. Traditional brick-and-mortar stores obviously disagree. Now that the internet shopping playing field has matured, what would be a fair plan to even that playing field?
You know, I want to go back for a moment to what we were just talking about. Crony capitalism is alive and well and has been so in Washington, D.C. for decades. What's crony capitalism? Crony capitalism is what happens when government gets so big and so powerful that only the big and the powerful can handle it. So why are the pharmaceutical companies consolidating? Why are there five even bigger Wall Street banks now instead of the 10 we used to have on Wall Street? Because when government gets big and powerful, the big feel like they need to get even bigger to deal with all that power. And meanwhile, the small and the powerless, in this case, 15.
Okay, here's a clue. Everybody needs to go back and use their Google Wayback Machine and take a look at what happened with Hewlett-Packard in Israel, working on biometric systems to control movement of people going across the border there of Israel. Hewlett-Packard was the only one that was actually working on any of these bids. They were the only one that the government would qualify. It was so bad that the Israeli parliament said, we're not going to accept this process. We're going to start this whole thing over again. And somebody else won it. It was EDS systems. So Hewlett Packard bought out EDS systems. So we're talking about crony capitalism and how just a few companies on it. Oh, Exhibit A right here.
Hey guys, I just found something pretty interesting on Twitter.
Go ahead.
Someone shared a Twitter feed by Donald Trump, and this is obviously before the debate tonight. But what do you make of this? Donald Trump says, how come ISIS never attacks Israel? Because the dog doesn't bite his own tail. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. Interesting.
And it's also interesting. I didn't notice that, I noticed that the mainstream media never covered that one.
Well, you know, they also don't attack Saudi, do they? Saudi Arabia.
And small and powerful. That's right.
Thank you very much.
But they sure do like
Senator
our weapons.
Rubio, you yourself have said that you've had issues. You have a lack of bookkeeping skills.
Those belong in my hands.
You accidentally intermingled campaign money with your personal money. You faced foreclosure on a second home that you bought. And just last year, you liquidated a $68,000 retirement fund. That's something that cost you thousands of dollars in taxes and penalties. In terms of all of that, it raises the question whether you have the maturity and the wisdom to leave a $17 trillion economy. What do you say?
Well, you just listed a litany of discredited attacks from Democrats and my political opponents, and I'm not going to waste 60 seconds detailing them all, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Here's the truth. I didn't inherit any money. My dad was a bartender. My mother was a maid. They worked hard to provide us the chance at a better life. They didn't save enough money for us to go to school. I had to work my way through school. I had to borrow money to go to school. Trying early in my marriage, explaining to my wife why someone named Sally Mae was taking $1,000 out of our bank account every month. I know what it's like to owe that money, and we've worked hard. We've worked hard our whole life to provide a better family, a better life for our family. We own a home 4 blocks away from the place that I grew up in.
But you know what? If he becomes president, he's going to leave, like Bill and Hillary Clinton, a multi-millionaire.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
From zero to multi-billionaire. And of course, you know, Donald Trump, same thing will happen to him. He comes in here and, you know, he's only got, $6 to $10 billion. He'll come out quite a bit wealthier.
This debate needs to be about the men and women across this country that are struggling on a daily basis to provide for their families the better future that we've always said this country's all about.
Senator, I understand all of that. I had a lot of student loans when I got out too, but you've had a windfall that a lot of Americans haven't. You made over $1 million on a book deal, and some of these problems came after.
And I use it to pay off my loans, and it's available on paperback.
You liquidated that retirement account after the fact, and that cost you about $24,000 out of that in taxes and fees. That was after you'd already come into that windfall. That's why I raised the question.
Yeah, again, as I said, we're raising a family in the 21st century.
And listen, I'm not a fan of Rubio, but like Ted Cruz said, nobody on that panel has any intention of voting for anybody that's on that stage right now.
That's right.
They just keep coming after him with all these personal attacks and, you know, ridiculous statements like, are you a comic book villain?
I mean, how dare you write a book and make money off of it? That's evil.
Yeah.
This has been the most horrible debate thus far.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, she's going to help him quite a bit in the polls because he did a really good job of spinning this back and saying, yeah, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Mm. But they're not talking about the economy. They're not talking about what they would actually do, the hard choices that they would make, because they have to control spending.
Which provides subsidies to help American companies compete with overseas competitors. You call that corporate welfare. One of the largest newspapers in your state wrote an editorial, said they found that strange, writing that if that's corporate welfare, what does Kasich call the millions of dollars in financial incentives doled out to attract or retain jobs by his development effort, Jobs Ohio? If subsidies are good enough for Ohio companies, why aren't they good enough for companies trying to compete overseas?
Well, first of all, when we talk about the Import-Export Bank, it's time to clean up corporate welfare. If we're going to reform welfare for poor people, we ought to reform it for rich people as well. Secondly, in our state, we went from a loss of 350,000 jobs to now a gain of 347,000 jobs to the positive.
There you go. Talk about jobs.
Our wages are growing faster than the national average. And I've cut taxes more than any sitting governor in this state.
When I was governor of Lake Wobegon,
including
all of our economy was above average.
Business and killing the death tax. Now, I want to go back to what we were talking about earlier, this budget deal in Washington. This is the same old stuff once since I left. You spend the money today, and then you hope you're going to save money tomorrow. I don't know if people understand.
Of course, here's the deal. As we said before, a very small percentage of the pie, the income of the federal government, comes from the income tax, right? Where does most of the money come from? Well, it comes from the Federal Reserve. They won't talk about the Federal Reserve. They won't talk about how the Federal Reserve is manipulating. They won't ask me questions, and nobody on here will talk about it except perhaps Rand, but they won't ask him a question.
I'll tell you about our incentives. Our incentives are tight. And at the end of the day, we make sure...
You only heard Trump speak like maybe once tonight.
That's true. Yeah. That's the interesting thing, is how little he's had a chance to talk.
Well, once again, you know, it's on CNBC. They have no intention to vote for anybody on here, so they're just going to attack the people that they think are weak or going to make a mistake. They
don't want to talk to Rubio and Cruz.
Yeah, they don't want to talk to Rand. They don't want to talk to Trump. Federally balanced budget. Not even Carson that much.
It's amazing that Kasich is at zero in the polls, and they have really talked to him more than they have talked to Carson or Trump.
And I know that you've said you've been very sympathetic to our cause.
I think that's because Kasich ripped open his stomach at the beginning of the debate and just basically bled on everybody. They're just like, we like this. We need more blood.
Well, he's definitely the most Democrat of all the candidates.
Turn the economy around for people who are struggling. The Democrats' answer to everything is more government control over wages and more empowering trial lawyers to file lawsuits. You know, you look at working women. I'll tell you, in my family, there are a lot of single moms in my family. My sister was a single mom. Both my aunts were single moms.
And my wife works for Goldman Sachs.
Hey. Was a single mom when my father left us when I was 3 years old. Now, thank God, my father was invited to a Bible study and became born again, and he came back to my mom and me, and we were raised
together. But the struggle of single moms is extraordinary. And, you know, when you see Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and all the Democrats talking about wanting to address the plight of working women, not a one of them mentioned the fact that under Barack Obama, 3.7 million women have entered poverty. Not a one of them mentioned the fact that under Barack Obama and the big government economy, the median wage for women has dropped $733. The truth of the matter is, big government benefits the wealthy, it benefits the lobbyists, it benefits the giant corporations, and the people who are getting hammered are small businesses, it's single moms, it's Hispanics. That is who I'm fighting for, the people that Washington.
But what is the solution? I don't hear any solution.
It is the height.
I don't even really see the, again. The problem is not Obama as much as it is the Federal Reserve and the system that has been there for
policy she espouses. And every single policy of President Obama has been demonstrably bad for women. 92% of the jobs lost during Barack Obama's first term belonged to women. Senator Cruz is precisely right. Right. 3 million women have fallen.
Now she lost her job.
That's a good point.
There you go.
Not to mention Obama's running around promising ladies houses and all this other stuff that he never delivers on.
I am a conservative because I know our values, our principles, and our policies work better to lift everyone up, men and women.
Thank you, Mrs. Fiorina. Carl?
Dr. Carson, we know you as a physician, but we wanted to ask you about your involvement on some corporate boards.
I think actually Fiorina is now not considered to be unemployed because she's so long-term unemployed that she's come off of the unemployment.
America, because of its domestic partner benefits. Why would you serve on a company whose policies seem to run counter to your views on homosexuality?
Well, obviously you don't understand my views on homosexuality. I believe that our Constitution protects everybody, regardless of their sexual orientation or any other aspect. I also believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that there is no reason that you can't be perfectly fair to the gay community. They shouldn't automatically assume that because you believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, that you are a homophobe. And this is one of the myths that the left perpetrates on our society, and this is how they frighten people and get people to shut up. You know, that's what the PC culture is all about, and it's destroying this nation. And the fact of the matter is, we, the American people, are not each other's enemies. It's those people who are trying to divide us who are the enemies, and we need to make that very clear to everybody.
Very good answer.
Yep. One more question. This is a company called Manitech, a maker of nutritional supplements, with which you had a 10-year relationship. They offered claims that they could cure autism, cancer. They paid $7 million to settle a deceptive marketing lawsuit in Texas, and yet your involvement continued. Why?
Well, that's easy to answer. I didn't have an involvement with them. That is total propaganda, and this is what happens in our society, total propaganda. I did a couple of speeches for them. I did speeches for other people. They were paid speeches. It is absolutely absurd to say that I had any kind of a relationship with them. Do I take the product? Yes. I think it's
John
a good
McCain
product.
Goes and visits ISIS and gives them money and thinks they're great guys.
If somebody put me on
that. But again, Rob, you know, this is going to be about the economy, and these are personal attacks coming after Rubio for his bankruptcies or whatever, and coming after Carson for making speeches.
This debate is just poor.
Yeah. Well, it's not a debate.
It's not a debate. But this is being just handled poorly by these three goofballs.
It's CNBC versus the GOP. That's what this is.
Stand here and I'll throw a rotten tomato at you.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, there's nothing being done here.
Yeah, there's no sustenance.
It's the biggest waste of time ever.
Well, see, the next time they're going to put him in one of those boosts, you know, where when you hit the target, they fall into the
dunk tank. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, let's go to break. We'll be right back. They're going to take a quick break, sir. We'll be right back.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts, fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com. Break down why you're so proud of these filters.
Well, I mean, this the Alexa Pure is really a culmination of all of my experience. It was posed to me as an extremely challenging project. They wanted a product that would actually operate without any electricity, so it had no pressure. You had to do it all by gravity. And they really effectively said, we need everything imaginable to be removed efficiently, way higher than 99%. And so the result was, it's an extreme challenge. Worked on it for quite a long time. And basically what we've done is we've created the only filter, to my knowledge, that hits all three. It will remove effectively all the major metals, all the major nonmetals such as fluoride. It will take out all known microbiological threats, including viral, bacterial, and cysts. And it will take out organic chemicals of pretty much everything, without exception. It's a very, very powerful device. I don't believe that there's anything else out there in the world that can do that, especially under gravity flow conditions. The fit and finish are fantastic. No compromise was made on the quality of the construction. So, I mean, it's really a remarkable achievement on their part. And I feel very proud, actually, to be part of the team that put that together.
What's your view overall on fluoride?
Well, okay, so we actually tested against both the fluoride ion and the fluorosilicate that you mentioned, which is the additive that people put into water under federal control. And basically, we removed both of them with equal efficiency. So we wanted to be sure that no matter how fluoride is added to the water, it can be intercepted and removed. So that's how we've dealt with that. All I can tell you is that we tested against all known fluoride chemicals that are added to water, the new ones and the old ones, and we remove them all of equal efficiency.
And is your belief that this is the best gravity-fed filter of the design out there available to the public?
Without a doubt. I mean, most of these gravity flow filters are at best simple particulate filters. They remove dirt and debris, sediment. They're not going to be capable of intercepting a viral particle to the degree we're talking quantitative reduction below detection. No one can touch that kind of capability.
Well, I'm impressed, and I want to thank you so much for your time today. It is the Alexa Pure Pro family of water filtration systems available discounted exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank Mr. Red Hawk for allowing us to be part of the launch of this. It's on sale right now for their main unit, $177. Leading competitors that aren't even as good or more than that. And they've also got the survival spring type straw system for survival that is an absolute must-have.
With the special skills that Silicon Valley wants.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News live coverage of the third GOP debate. We've just come back from break, and so has CNBC. Let's pick it up with what they're talking about.
Highly qualified Americans.
I mean, honestly, hold on. We don't even have to even look at or listen to even think that it's even happening out here tonight. Everyone should get on Twitter right now, Facebook, and tweet these guys, everybody who's a part of this debate, and tell them to walk off the stage. This is a complete and total joke. There's nothing being asked. They're trying to get these guys to fight and bicker between one another. Mm. Completely and totally ridiculous. How are they even going to come up with a poll at the end of this? Because no one's even been given the opportunity to say anything important about anything. This is the first time I've literally been pissed off watching one of the things at a point where I want to throw stuff. This is stupid.
Well, you know, Joe, the problem is that, you know, as Anderson Cooper pointed out with the CNN debate for the Democrats, he said they were serious candidates and they were going to give them serious issues. But see, they didn't take this seriously. That's why they're trying to mix it up.
Yeah, that's how they open it up. Yeah. Everything at the very beginning was like, oh, you know, CNBC is going to take this seriously. We're going to ask questions about the economy. I haven't seen any of that.
What was the first question after the introduction? Oh. Are you a comic book villain?
No, the first question was, what is your weakness? And then it was, are you a comic book villain?
Completely ridiculous. We have Kit Daniels over there at the Twitter station. And Kit, do people on Twitter feel the same way that we do?
Yeah, absolutely. Jakari, got a tweet here that's from Steve Fadding. It says, this debate is a liberal media joke. All the candidates should all walk out. And I tend to agree with that because as we constantly see, you know, you see the GOP is turning in more and more like into the Democrats. And no longer, we don't really have a two-party system in Washington anymore. It's just basically a one-party system. It's the Washington Party. You know, the Washington Party against you, the individual. And so, you know, the Republicans are constantly all talking like we see in this debate about all these so-called, you know, these issues that they want to push about Social Security and whatnot. But here's the problem is, David.
Hold that thought. Yeah. Let's see what Trump has to say.
I don't see subtitles, guys. Put the subtitles up.
The only person in either campaign that's self-funding, I'm putting up 100% of my own money. And right now, I will be putting up a tremendous, so far I put up less than anybody, and I have the best results. Wouldn't that be nice if the country could do that? But I will be putting up, you know, tremendous amounts of money. Super PACs are a disaster. They're a scam. They cause dishonesty. And you better get rid of them because they are causing a lot of bad decisions to be made by some very good people. And I'm not blaming these folks, but I guess I could. Very good people are making very bad decisions right now. And if anything comes out of this whole thing with some of these nasty and ridiculous questions, mm-hmm. I will tell you, you better get rid of the super PACs because they're causing a big problem with this country. Not only in dishonesty and what's going on, but also in a lot of bad decisions that are being made for the benefit of lobbyists and special interests.
Becky. Let me add to what he just said. He's exactly right. That's what the problem is with Jeb Bush's campaign. You know, Jeb is having to lay off staff, and yet he has some of the largest available funds for anybody if you look at his super PACs. He's been one of the largest in terms of getting tens of millions of dollars of super PACs. But he has no control over his staff.
Gentleman in Florida who happens to be a very nice guy, but not...
My apologies. I'm sorry.
They can't even get their insults.
Can I respond?
Right. To try to get these guys to pick a fight between themselves.
Yeah.
It's complete and total BS.
Yeah, because I don't even like half these guys, but what these guys keep pointing out, they just keep attacking them, trying to get them to bicker back and forth. Rubio's calling out the mainstream media exactly right. Ted Cruz called them out exactly right. Everybody knows what the plot of this is.
Telling the families of those victims and the American people that it was because of a video. And yet the mainstream media is going around saying it was the greatest week in Hillary Clinton's campaign. It was the week she got exposed as a liar.
I hope Rand Paul has his Hillary for Prison t-shirt on it up under there, and he's... Yeah. Just waiting quietly in the corner to bust that out at, you know, some prime time that he's picked.
Thank you very much. I'd like to introduce my colleague.
Brand, I'm waiting on you. Come on, man, pull through.
All right, I'm sorry, Kit, we cut you off. What other thoughts did you have over there at the Twitter station?
You've been a fierce critic of the Senate, arguing for...
Well, like I said earlier, the Republicans are always constantly, you know, they're pushing these so-called issues that they want to push, you know, about Social Security and so-called gutting government spending. But like David said before, the real issue is the Federal Reserve. Because, I mean, they can talk and talk, but it's all meaningless as long as there's a Federal Reserve that's basically kind of like a farmer that's feeding the fat goose of the government. So as long as there is, you know, this Federal Reserve system in place...
Hey, they're talking about that right now, Kit. Sorry. Yeah. Let's pick up what they have to say.
Policy, end this star chamber that has been engaging in this incredible experiment of quantitative easing, QE1, QE2, QE3, QE infinity. And the people who are being impacted, you know, a question that was asked earlier, Becky asked, was about working women. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, you look at on Wall Street, the Fed is doing great. It's driving up stock prices, Wall Street's doing great. You know, today the top 1% earn a higher share of our income than any year since 1928. But if you look at working men and women, if you look at a single mom buying groceries, she sees hamburger prices have gone up nearly 40%. She sees her cost of electricity going up. She sees her health insurance going up. And loose money is one of the major problems. We need sound money. And I think the Fed should get out of the business of trying to juice our economy and simply be focused on sound money and monetary stability, ideally tied to gold.
Senator Paul, the same question to you.
Well, thank you very much. Whoa. I'd like to thank Ted for co-sponsoring my bill, Audit the Fed. And I think it's precisely because of the arrogance of someone like Ben Bernanke, who now calls us all know-nothings. That's precisely why we need Audit the Fed. I think it is really a very much a huge problem that an organization as powerful as the Fed comes and lobbies against them being audited on the Hill. I would prevent them from lobbying Congress. I don't think the Fed should be involved with lobbying us. I think we should examine how the Fed has really been part of the problem. You want to study income inequality? Let's bring the Fed board and talk about Fed policy and how it causes income inequality. Let's also bring the Fed forward and have them explain how they caused the housing boom and the crisis and what they've done to make us better or worse. I think the Fed has been a great problem in our society. What you need to do is free up interest rates. Interest rates are the price of money, and we shouldn't have price controls on the price of money.
Thank you, Senator.
They've destroyed 99% of our purchasing power in 100 years as well.
You told the Des Moines Register that you don't like government subsidies. It interferes with the free market.
Let's go back to Kate. Kate, what do you want to say about the Fed? Because they're moving on from the Fed here.
Yeah, this guy's kind of a joker anyway.
Yeah.
Why do they keep switching people out?
Well, these Republicans, except for Rand Paul, of course, are always kind of pushing all these different social issues. But, you know, it's all talk, David. It's like, unless we really get into these systemic problems of our government and how it's funded and how this Federal Reserve System is going to ultimately collapse the dollar and collapse our economy. And, I mean, just look at it now with the whole student loan. I think they talked about the student loan problem right now, but I'm seeing more and more kids that are getting out of college and they're, graduating with liberal arts degrees, but then, you know, I've talked to friends before where they're having to get jobs that are not even related to their degree at all that they spent $50,000, $60,000 on. So now we have kids that don't really have real skills. You don't see guys that can go out and weld or fix cars anymore. And that's where the real economy is at, is in manufacturing and, you know, that sort of thing.
I can.
Well, if you want to get a job in manufacturing, you need to get out of this country. You know, if you got a college degree, I guess the question ought to be at commencement, your graduation ceremony, do you want fries with that sheepskin? Let's hear what Ben Carson's saying about crony capitalism. Let's go back to the debate.
Thank you, doctor.
I was just wondering if they had like a CNBC staff lottery where they just pick, draw names, and then everyone gets to come out and, you know, throw out a little a hit or something on one of these candidates.
During the financial crisis, apart from your tax plan, are there specific steps that you would require from corporate America to try and reduce income inequality?
I don't think it's so much about when the government orders a corporation to do something. In fact, that's part of the problem. If you saw that blimp that got cut loose for Maryland today, it's a perfect example of government. I mean, what we had was something the government made, basically a bag of gas that cut loose, destroyed everything in its path, left thousands of people powerless, but they couldn't get rid of it because we had too much money invested in it, so we had to keep it. That is our government today. We saw it in the
talking point from David
Knight
over here.
That's exactly what we saw.
We're on a mind meld here.
And we have a report from Joe Biggs that's going to come up later at the end of this, talking about what's really behind these blimps.
Yeah.
That's what people don't know, the secret behind the blimps.
Above the average worker, when the bottom 90% of this country's economy has had stagnant wages for the past 40 years, somebody is taking it in the teeth. And it's not the folks on Wall Street. I'm not anti-Wall Street. But I don't believe the government ought to wear a team jersey, pick winners and losers. The government ought to wear a striped shirt and just make sure the game is played fairly. Now, everybody else has fudged their time and gone over. So, please, don't cut me off too quick, Becky.
All right, Governor.
Let me just close it up.
How about 15 more seconds?
We need to be focusing on what fixes this country.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing that we never talk about. We haven't talked about it tonight. Why aren't we talking about, instead of cutting benefits for old people, cutting benefits for sick people, why don't we say, let's cure the four big cost-driving diseases,
Governor.
Diabetes, heart disease,
Governor,
cancer, and Alzheimer's. If you do that, you don't just change the economy, you transform the lives of millions of hurting Americans.
Governor, thank you.
Gosh, I'd love for us to talk about
Governor,
something like that. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
That's a very good point, but as they keep pointing out, they use the example of the single mom trying to buy groceries with four kids.
personal income. Yeah, and we don't need him talking about anything that Big Pharma's got drugs for. I mean, they've got that under control. They're controlling those symptoms, keeping us in prescriptions, and so we got to avoid that.
Yeah, but they have they talk about the moms trying to buy the groceries for the four kids, but the moms have so little money, and they see the prices of the meat and all this stuff go up. So what do they buy? They go buy Cheetos. They go buy this GMO crap. So, yes, they're trying to feed their family, but they're feeding their family with, you know, not healthy food. And it's not their fault. They have no other means to do it. But, you know, that contributes to the problem as well. It's a never-ending cycle.
That's something that Huckabee's talked about before. But he needs to understand he's running for president, not for Surgeon General. And I don't think Surgeon General ought to be dictating to us what kind of cures we're going to have. Look, the government bureaucracy in Washington is a metastasizing cancer. Cut that. Start with that. And that's what they need to do is get that off of our back. Stop the BLM from stealing people's ranches, from stealing their farms, from fining a guy $75,000 a day. I mean, this is what we've got to stop.
We've got to protect those endangered turtles.
Yeah.
Yeah, while we kill all the cattle.
We need to take a new approach of taxing, reforming how we tax and reforming the regulations in our country before it's too late.
Senator Rubio, 30
seconds. We need to keep sending guns and missiles to other foreign countries and go and invade them. That's what we need to do.
Jeb is just so devoid of ideas. He is so incredibly irrelevant. But he does have a lot of super PAC money. He can't afford to pay his staff because nobody is sending him any contributions. But the big Wall Street people are sending him megabucks, and they do that through the super PACs. That was what Donald Trump was talking about before.
In fact, the largest after-tax gains is for the people at the lower end of the tax spectrum under my plan. And there's a bunch of things my tax plan does to help them. Number one, you have people in this country.
Tax Foundation, just to be clear, they said the
gains. It's like a tax plan. Well, let's have some cuts planned.
Yeah.
Senator, the Tax Foundation said after-tax income for the top 1% under your plan would go up 27.9%.
Well, you're talking
about people in the middle of the income spectrum, about 15%.
Yeah, but because the math is, if you 5% of a million is a lot more than 5% of a thousand. So yes, if someone makes more money, numerically it's going to be higher. But the greatest
the reality is the people at the top are not paying. The billionaires are not paying anything anyway, because they've written the tax code. Look, you can completely get rid of the IRS and just cut the government back to where it was 3 to 5 years ago. That's the bottom line. We're not coming anywhere close to paying for our government out of this because we've got funny money from the Fed, and they touched on that briefly, but they really didn't get to the heart of the issue.
Under my plan, no business, big or small, will pay more than 25% flat rate on their business income. That is a dramatic tax decrease for hardworking people who run their own businesses.
John, I'd like to address
the other point that I would make about our plan. One more point. It is the most pro-growth tax plan that I can imagine because it doesn't tax investments at all. You know why? The more you tax something, the less of it you get. I want America to be the best place in the world for people to
invest. Senator, thank you.
I'd like to address this. John, could I follow up on this?
We'll come back around. I want to get to Governor Kasich.
What are
Governor Kasich again? Seriously?
How do we decide who gets?
Like I said, he was bleeding on the floor.
These guys love Kasich.
The moderator discretion.
Okay,
so Governor Kasich, let's talk.
Yes, moderator's discretion. We don't want to talk to Trump. We'll just talk to Kasich.
Mention something about my tax plan and how it relates to the discussion.
Right.
This
30
was
seconds.
Be a freewheeling discussion.
Sure.
Right?
30 seconds.
All right. Much of the discussion is centered over whether or not the different tax plans help or affect the middle class. In fact, it's the chief argument by Democrats against many of the different flat tax proposals. Mine is unique in the sense that my tax plan actually gets rid of the payroll tax as well. It shifts it to the business, and it would allow middle class people to get a tax cut. If you just cut their income tax, there isn't much income tax to cut. Mine actually cuts the payroll tax, and I think it would spread the tax cut across all socioeconomic levels and would allow then it to be something that would be broadly supported by the public in an election.
That's disappointing because any business taxes are ultimately passed on to the public in either higher product costs or in lower wage increases. That's very disappointing. That would be Rand Paul. Don't you think?
What are we doing? 10% flat rate.
We're going to go as a businessman. You're a businessman, David. So I can imagine being in that situation.
Like a lot of people have argued to get rid of corporate tax completely. That's not politically correct to say that. We have to understand that corporate taxes are double taxation. Corporations not going to swallow that. They're going to pass those are costs. They're going to pass their costs along, or they're going to go out of business. Then they're going to pass that along in terms of increased prices for their products or in terms of lower wages or fewer employees. That's just that simple. And it's disappointing to see Rand Paul take that position.
are still smoking it. They're just now paying taxes. Given the budget pressures in Ohio and other states, is this a revenue stream you'd like to have?
Well, first of all, we're running a $2 billion surplus, okay? We're not having a revenue problem right now. And sending mixed signals to kids about drugs is a disaster. Drugs is one of the greatest scourges in this country. I've spent 5 years of my administration working with my team to do a whole sort of things to try to rein in the problem of overdoses.
We're putting people in prison. We're taking their private property.
Overdoses? The question's about marijuana. Who in the hell's ever overdosed from marijuana?
Yeah.
What are they going to overdose from? Pepsi and Taco Bell afterwards? How about we talk about the overdoses from the prescription pills you shove down people's throats every time they go to the friggin' hospital for a cold or something? They start giving you codeine syrup and they start giving you all this junk.
You get your flu shot?
You got this and that.
Let's talk about the overdoses from the opium coming out of Afghanistan, which increased exponentially since we've been
there. But, well, that's how they make money, though.
Yeah.
Not everyone's got their hand in the whole marijuana plant yet.
The thing is, Kasich is an old guy. He's been around for all 44 years of the war on drugs, and he's seen it get worse. It doesn't work. Even if they had the legal authority for it, and they don't have the legal authority, there's no amendment to the Constitution to prohibit any of these drugs. They needed it for alcohol. Ask yourself why they don't have it for marijuana or anything else. They just ignore the Constitution is why. But from a pragmatic standpoint, even, it hasn't worked. But, of course, we can't change that.
No, it's too much money.
Got to pretend.
Let us come up there and ask some questions.
You want to fix America? This is the formula. It worked for Reagan.
There you go.
Team in Ohio. Thank you.
Gotta have a drink. Yeah, gotta have a drink.
Actually, no, that might be free.
Yeah, and the thing about whole war on drugs, like, I understand what he's saying. He doesn't want to give mixed messages to the kids, but the fact is a lot of these kids are seeing their parents go to prison, nonviolent offenders.
It destroys families.
For smoking something, you know, and what kind of mixed message is that? That you would so eagerly put somebody into prison that you would release like a violent offender, like a rapist or a murderer.
They've gone to break. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our live coverage of the third GOP debate. This is InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight with Jakari Jackson and Joe Biggs. We'll be right back.
Oh, hey. Sorry. I was just admiring the brand new shipment of Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirts. We just got them in. On the back it says InfoWars.com, legalize freedom. Everybody here is super excited today. No one wants that woman to become the president of the United States. Whoa. Look at this. Jakari Jackson even has his on.
Whoa.
What's going on?
What a coincidence that we would wear the same t-shirt on the same day. That's a very nice jacket you have on there, Biggs, as well. Yeah, when we're talking about this Hillary for Prison t-shirt that's only $19.95 at the InfoWars store, it reminds me of just the kind of aura of Mrs. Clinton. Because, of course, we know she lied about being shot at by sniper fire. You know, Brian Williams had a similar lie. Not to mention the whole Benghazi scandal, where she was alerted to the plight of Ambassador Stevens, but instead of sending aid to Ambassador Stevens, she actually took that aid away. And, Joe, I'm noticing something right there on your hip. What do you have there?
Oh, this is something that Hillary Clinton doesn't like. This is a gun. Hillary Clinton doesn't want you to have the ability to protect yourself if someone wants to hurt you. There's crazy people out there.
Well, you know, Joe, there are crazy people out there. So for that reason right there, I keep mine right here handy as well. So I guess you can just not like that, Hillary.
Well, guess what? Go pick up your Hillary for Prison t-shirt and piss off a liberal. Let's go see what the rest of the crew's doing here at the InfoWars studio. So occasionally, you're going to run into a friend that doesn't have a t-shirt. Rob, where is your shirt at?
It's right. No, wrong shirt.
That's why you buy multiple Hillary for Prison t-shirts. You can help out a buddy in need. But be prepared like this guy and have yours on.
Make sure you're prepared.
Darren, always prepared. Make sure you go to the InfoWars store and pick up your Hillary for Prison t-shirt and show your disapproval today.
The Globe
bubble of social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. The key is to be aware of this attack and to fight back against it. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula, sourced from powerful organic herbs harvested around the planet and then concentrated for maximum potency. I've always believed in nutrition and herbs. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality and other powerful products from InfoWars Life. Your liver can be full of fatty deposits built up.
The InfoWars Nightly News live coverage of the third GOP debate. We're taking a little bit of a break. We just came back. And, of course, I think it's interesting to take a look while we're waiting for them to resume their debate. I think it's interesting to look at where they're getting their money. We just saw that Carly Fiorina is shopping herself out for speeches, and we're back. Let's go to Donald Trump, what he's talking about, H-1B.
I've created tens of thousands of jobs, and in all due respect, and actually some of these folks I really like a lot, but I'm the only one that can say that. I have created tens of thousands of jobs, and I'll be creating many millions of jobs if I'm given the opportunity to be president. As far as Mark is concerned, as far as the visas are concerned, if we need people, it's fine. They have to come in to this country legally. We have a country of borders. We have a country of laws. We have to obey the laws. It's fine if they come in, but they have to come in legally.
Thank you, sir.
That was mentioned in your question. Do
you
I
were,
get
you get 30
Thank
seconds.
You.
Yeah.
Well, I've learned the rules on this.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because all these governors who say they created jobs, it was actually the people who ran private businesses like Donald Trump that really created jobs, unless these Republicans take the line that Obama did, that you didn't build that.
You didn't build that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way my parents came legally in 1956. But in 2015, we have a very different economy. Mm-hmm. Our legal immigration system from now on has to be merit-based. It has to be based on what skills you have, what you can contribute economically, and most important of all, on whether or not you're coming here to become an American. Not just live in America, but be an American.
Maybe you're coming here to be a president because you don't have to worry about the natural-born citizen requirementship if you're Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz, right?
Yes. After the Oregon mass shooting on October 1st, you said, by the way, it was a gun-free zone. If you had a couple of teachers with guns, you would have been a hell of a lot better off.
Or somebody else. Right.
Would you feel more comfortable if your employees brought guns to work?
Yes, I might feel more comfortable. I would say that I would, and I have a permit, which is very unusual in New York, a permit to carry, and I do carry on occasion, sometimes a lot, but I like to be unpredictable so that people don't know exactly what you're
carrying. There you go.
Right now.
Please pull a gun out right now.
By the way,
and just lay it down on the podium.
Our country, where we're totally predictable, and the enemy, whether it's ISIS or anybody else, they know exactly what we're doing because we have the wrong leadership.
Like we don't have any problem with allowing ISIS to carry.
That's right.
Not even that. We're giving them the weapons to use to carry, to kill people, to go after Christians, to just demolish people's lives.
ISIS has open carry.
The right thing, yeah, they have open carry. And that has been okay. Given from our government. I'm just a regular guy who follows the law, does the right thing. I want to be able to open carry. I want to be able to do all that stuff. I want to be able to protect myself.
And shot him. Killed him.
Yeah, they can open carry in their Toyota pickup truck. And nobody bothers them until the Russians get there.
So I think gun-free zones are a
kill
catastrophe.
Zone.
They're a feeding frenzy for sick people.
We call the few Trump resorts, few Trump properties that do not allow guns with or without a permit. Would you change those policies?
I would change it.
Okay.
Sure. I would change it.
All right. Thank you. John?
Yeah, you're right. Governor Joe, he should have, like a boss, pulled out a gun, put it on there, then opened up his shirt. Don't worry, for prison.
Hey, have my vote at that point if you do that.
Kit, you got something in the Twitter room?
Republican. Yes, David, I got a really good tweet here from Kathy. It says that CNBC is doing a horrible job moderating and needs to only ask questions, not to debate the candidates.
Yeah.
And I think this whole debate's a good example of media manipulation, that first off, they saturate us with these phony non-issues, like you've seen with many of the questions. Then they try to suppress anyone who has something intelligent to say, like Rand Paul, for example. This is exactly how the media is manipulating public opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's see what Huckabee is saying. He's starting to talk.
But don't even feature Rand Paul in any of the polls. You can't go on the internet and find a poll that even has him, or on TV. They completely just shut him out.
Let me tell you, Donald Trump would be a better president every day of the week and twice on Sunday rather than Hillary. I've spent a lifetime in politics fighting the Clinton machine. You want to talk about what we're going to be up against next year?
What cabinet position is Huckabee going for?
I'm the only guy on this stage. You know, I'm the only guy this, I'm the only guy that. Let me tell you one thing that I am the only guy. The only guy that has consistently fought the Clinton machine every election I was ever in over the past 26 years. And not only did I fight them, but I beat them. Somebody says I'm a fighter. Well, I want to know, did you win? Well, I did. And not only did I fight them and win, I live to tell about it. And I'm standing on this stage tonight.
I live to tell about it. Yeah. Didn't have a Clinton side.
He didn't get Benghazi'd.
Arkansas.
I'll tell you, so you want to talk about moral
He didn't get harm. Fostered either.
Let's talk about something that's happened this week in the news. You know, the FBI director, the president's appointed FBI director, has said this week that because of a lack of support from politicians like the president of the United States, that police officers are afraid to get out of their cars, that they're afraid to enforce the law. And he says, the president's appointee, that crime is going up because of this. And when the president of the United States gets out to speak about it, does he support police officers? Does he stand up for law enforcement? No, he doesn't. I'll tell you.
No, man, he's got to meet the clock, kid. That's what the president's doing.
Yeah,
he can't
right.
be bothered with all this other stuff.
And the security of the American people. This president has failed, and when I'm in the Oval Office, police officers will know that they will have the support of the president of the United States.
They can do anything. Get away
plenty of opportunities to steal property.
I got a whole bunch of MRAPs waiting out back full of Krispy Kreme donuts. We'll have a party. We'll roll through your town kicking indoors.
Yeah. Offers a 401k to its employees.
James Comedy.
That's the guy. Who is this guy? Workers have no access to an employer-sponsored retirement plan. That includes the workers at small businesses and the growing.
You guys notice that most of the people attacking Fiorina are the ladies.
Freelance economy.
Yeah.
Should the federal government play a larger role in
helping just hate on each other?
See, this is all CNBC. When are we going to get our free government benefit? You know, that's another one of the CNBC.
Government gets engaged in
something. That was probably sexist. What I just said.
It gets worse. And then the government.
Well, the point you were making, Joe, if I can try to clarify, is that they bring up women to attack the other women so they can't call them sexist.
Yeah.
Companies should.
But I mean, this is typical of the kind of questions we're getting. When are we going to get our socialist welfare state?
But honestly, you know, if you're a small
federal government.
Well, was it the second GOP debate when they asked who they should replace on like the 50 cent piece or something like that?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
and
there's like $10 bill. Like what woman would you
What woman would you replace on that coin?
The bad news is
they're gonna replace Alexander Hamilton with a woman. They just haven't decided which one. It's got to be a woman.
And why?
Nobody asked what happened to the value of the $10 bill, right? Yeah. It was the Fed that tanked that. But let's just change let's put a new face on it, right? That's what this is all about. That's what these elections are all about. They're about putting a new face on our declining economy, and they won't even talk about what they need to do to get things in balance.
It'll be the Hillary Minton 50 cent piece.
Yeah.
There is no constitutional role for the federal government to be setting minimum wages.
Thank you
very
much.
The more the government gets engaged in the economy, the slower the economy becomes. The more the government gets engaged in the economy, it is demonstrably true. The more the big, the powerful, the wealthy, and the well-connected.
I thought we were in the same clothes. We got the purple thing going.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
I just noticed that.
Thank you. I want to turn my attention now to you, Governor Kasich.
Gee!
Kasich again.
Can't get a college degree.
I think we need to take a look at this and see what's up.
Where's he taking money from?
Yeah.
Where's he taking money from? He's paying somebody.
I know. You would think he was
here. We get the next.
Cold.
This is what's going to be on the next.
I forgot. I forgot he even existed. The first two debates.
Hey, you know what, Rob? You're probably right. That probably is going to be the next.
Hey.
She's a hero.
Yes.
Okay.
Bruce Jenner is a hero.
Let's
back when he got on the cover of the Wheaties box and won something in the Olympics.
University. Yeah. You'll probably put him on Mount Rushmore or she or it. Whatever the proper term is.
Bruce
it'll
Jenner.
It'll be Mount Brushmore.
Almost an entire first year.
It's going to be Bruce Jenner. Yeah. That.
And of course, in addition to that, we are working now to go after the cost drivers in our universities. And let me give you an example.
You know what's driving the cost of tuition? It's government subsidies. I mean, just in the time that I was in college, I could afford to go to college without a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that anymore.
No, you can't.
Because the government scholarships coming in, the price has soared. And the same thing is happening with our healthcare system. Every time the government comes in and subsidizes something, it gets more expensive. That's the reality of this. And they won't address this even as Republicans. Of course, you know, this is the John Kasich show tonight.
Well, the only reason I could even get an education, so to say, in college was to join the military.
Yeah.
And that's what they kind of force you into. Like, all right, you're either going to be in debt forever or you join the military.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you're not going to get taken care of. So you might have a degree, but you're not going to be able to walk to your job or actually do it. They're going to kick you out and put you on some kind of medical retirement that's complete and total BS and promise you for 7 years they're going to fix your knee and then tell you that your ankle's broken when really it's your foot.
Roger.
That's what you got to look forward to.
Well, they want to keep you in the government institution most of your life and then keep you working for the
government.
And
then when I'm mad at them, they want to call me a terrorist and say that I'm the number one threat.
Mm-hmm. But Joe, they said Obamacare was going to be free, right?
Yeah,
and that we're all going to get.
He's going to do more.
The only thing that's free is the pain and anguish you have to go through every day.
Next generation with recourse debt on their backs. But it's always the solution of the left to create more government from the federal government. It is broken. It is not working.
Jeb, remember that?
Except it was Jeb who said this weekend, you know, when he's starting to get fed up, he goes, yeah, you're going to have gridlock if you have Trump in there. And everybody's lives are just going to go spiraling down because you're not going to have a Jeb Bush there passing new laws to fix your life for you.
You know?
But I mean, that's his statist mindset is that he has to be there fixing things and moving forward and passing more laws for people's lives to get better.
Should the federal government treat it as such?
Well, first of all, I'm 7-0 in my fantasy football league.
I had a feeling you were going to brag about
Gronkowski is still going strong. I have Ryan Tannehill, Marco, as my quarterback. He was 18 for 19 last week.
Tom Brady's
the same. I'm doing great, but we're not gambling. And I think this has become something that needs to be looked at in terms of regulation. Effectively, it's day trading without any regulation at all. And when you have insider information, which apparently has been the case, where people use that information, use big data to try to take advantage of it, there has to be some regulation. If they can't regulate themselves, then the NFL needs to look at this, you know, moving away from them a little bit, and there should be some regulation. I have no clue whether the federal government's the proper place. My instinct is to say hell no, just about everything about the federal government.
Except blowing up other countries.
Unless I'm in charge.
Until most of the Republicans have, most of the Republicans have voted against any kind of online gambling because they want money from Sheldon Adelson.
We have $19 trillion in debt. We have people out of work. We have ISIS and Al-Qaeda attacking us.
I can't believe we're talking about fantasy football.
Yeah.
That's the first time you've said something, Chris, that I can agree with. You deserve a donut.
How about we get the government to do what they're supposed to be doing? Secure our borders, protect our people, and support American values and American families. Enough on fantasy football. Let people play. Who cares?
Sharon, I want to...
Oh, yeah. Let's throw some people in jail. That's real government.
Governor Christie, you've said something that many in your party do not believe, which is that climate change is undeniable, that human activity contributes to it, and you said, quote, the question is, what do we do to deal with it? So what do we do?
Well, first off, what we don't do is do what Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and Barack Obama want us to do, which is their solution for everything. Put more taxes on it, give more money to Washington, D.C., and then they'll fix it. Well, there's no evidence that they can fix anything in Washington, D.C.
What should we do?
What we should do is to be investing in all types of energy, John. All types of energy. And I've laid out...
Being government?
The government?
No, yeah. John. John, do you want me to answer? You want to answer. How are we going to do that? Because I got to tell you the truth.
He's got a little fire under him right now.
What you're doing is called rude. So, we've laid out a national energy plan that says that we should invest in all types of energy. I'll tell you, you could win a bet at a bar tonight since we're talking about fantasy football. If you ask who the top three states in America are that produce solar energy, California and Arizona are easy, but number three is New Jersey. Why? Because we worked with the private sector to make solar energy affordable and available to businesses and individuals in our state. We need to make sure that we do everything we can across all kinds of energy. Natural gas, oil, absolutely. But also where it's affordable, solar, wind, and
hot air from my mouth.
Very affordable and it makes sense. That's the way we deal with global warming, climate change, or any of those problems. Not through government intervention, not through government taxes. And for God's sake, don't send Washington another dime until they stop wasting the money they're already sending there.
No one thing about solar energy, I'm not knocking, I think it's a great resource, but like in Arizona, they have those huge fields where birds fly by and they catch on fire. Because of the reflection of the...
What he's, if you look at his program, what he said that they're doing in New Jersey, they make it affordable. They're subsidizing it. So, you know, that's
the question always they're going to let Rand talk. Whoa.
Yeah.
What works better, the private marketplace or government? And what distributes goods better? It always seems to be the private marketplace does a better job. Is there an area for a safety net? Can you have Medicare or Social Security? Yeah, but you ought to acknowledge the government doesn't do a very good job at it. The main problem with Medicare right now is that the average person pays in taxes over their whole lifetime about $100,000. But the average person takes out about $350,000. We have this enormous mismatch because we have smaller and smaller families. When people ask me, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it that Medicare's broken out of money, that Social Security's broken out of money? And I say, look, it's not Republicans' fault. It's not Democrats' fault. It's your grandparents' fault for having too many damn kids. After the war, we had all these kids, baby boomers. Now we're having smaller families. We used to have 16 workers for one retiree. Now you have 3 workers for one retiree. It's not working. I have a bill to fix Medicare. I have a bill to fix Social Security.
Senator.
For both of them, you have to gradually raise the age. If you're not willing to do that, nobody wants to do it, but if you're not willing to gradually raise the age, you're not serious about fixing either one of them.
Senator, Becky, thank you.
Becky, I have a different take on that. You know, one of the realities of Social Security and these other entitlement programs is that it isn't simply money that is going to people when they're elderly. It's money that is going to people based on them being entitled to it based on their financial situation. And of course, that's why it's insolvent, because we're bringing a lot of people in this country as well. It's not simply that we've got people living too long or that we've got too many old people. They're taking a break. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back in just a moment.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face.
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary for President! Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
Break.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News live coverage of the GOP third debate. They're going with their closing statements here. Let's join them to hear their closing statement.
We don't have a health care crisis in America. We have a health crisis. And until we deal with the health of Americans and do what we did with polio when I was a little kid, we eradicated it. You know how much money we spent on polio last year in America? We didn't spend any. We've saved billions of dollars. You want to fix Medicare? Focus on the diseases that are costing us the trillions of dollars. Alzheimer's, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. Eradicate those, and you fix Medicare, and you fixed America, its economy, and you've made people's lives a heck of a lot better.
You know what, though? That's not the role in government to find a cure for all these diseases. They don't do a very good job of that, and he should understand that.
The way that Hillary Clinton wants to do, because there'll be major reductions in benefits in the next decade if we do nothing. I have a concrete plan to do just that, which allows people to keep HSAs to encourage savings. It allows for people that are retiring with Social Security to be able to get a minimum of 125% of the poverty level so that there is a baseline that in this generous country of ours, no one goes below.
Governor Bush, Mr. Trump says that he is capable of growing the economy so much that Social Security and Medicare don't have to be touched. Do you want to explain how that's going to happen, Mr. Trump?
Yes, it's very simple. We're going to make a really dynamic economy from what we have right now, which is not at all dynamic. We're going to bring jobs back from Japan. We're going to bring jobs back from China. We're going to bring, frankly, jobs back from Mexico, where, as you probably saw, Nabisco is leaving Chicago with one of their biggest plants, and they're moving it to Mexico. We're going to bring jobs and manufacturing back. We're going to cut costs. We're going to save Social Security, and we're going to save Medicare.
Governor, you just heard him.
You have to reform Social Security, and the simple way to do it is to make sure that the wealthiest don't receive the same benefits as people that are lower income, and make sure that you enhance savings in the private market. The idea of 401ks. I have a small business that I set up. It took an arm and a leg to be able to set up a 401k.
Who's arm and leg?
Because of all the federal mandates and federal.
Sure, he's got a small business. What is? We
need to. It wasn't daddy's leg. It wasn't brother's.
Did he inherit Zapata oil or something from daddy?
You can't. They're just going to grow your way out of this. I have a plan to grow the economy at 4%. But you're going to have to make adjustments for both Medicare and Social Security.
Governor Kasich, you want 30 seconds?
In my state, we took Medicaid, the hardest program to control, and we took it from a 10% growth rate to 2.5% without taking one person off the rolls.
I thought they were going to be doing their closing statements because these guys were adamant that they were only going to go for 2 hours or they weren't going to come to the debate.
Well, maybe that's going to be at the end of the set.
I don't know.
CNB Kasich?
Medicaid from 10 to 2.5%. We can take many of those same procedures. We can apply it to Medicare. We can make a stronger program. But I agree with Jeb. You can't just do this by growing the economy. You can't grow your way out of demographics. But we can give people better health care. And finally, on health care, why don't we start giving incentives for people to keep people healthy rather than giving the incentives to treat them when
they're all this
sick.
Is one of the reasons why the Republicans don't have any problem with Obamacare, because they want to run your health care system as well, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they are tied in with insurance companies. Let's hear what Rand Paul said.
Do nothing and it'll just be fixed. That's absurd. And I think people who don't want to fix it really are unwilling to take the chance to say something has to change or missing the boat here. The age will have to gradually rise. There is no question. It's the only way you fix Medicare, the only way you fix Social Security.
Yeah, because it was always based on life expectancy. It was always a lie. Kit, you got anything in the Twitter station?
I just want to remind everybody that if you want to add to the discussion, you know, don't be a stranger. Tweet us at RealAlexJones using the hashtag GOPDebate. And also, if you don't have Twitter, you've got a Facebook account, for example, you can find us on Facebook at Alex Jones. And I got a good tweet here. It says, from the Constitution, it says, I want someone to have cojones in the Fed, IRS, nothing but a scam, Hillary for president 2016, and leave my guns alone. I might have missed it, David, but I don't think anyone is really in the debate has called out Hillary for crimes tonight. Am I correct?
I don't know, but I know that guy's tweet could be my next tattoo. That sounds American as hell right there.
Well, they did talk about how, you know, she was, actually somebody did call her out on Benghazi saying that she blamed it on a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who
I can't remember.
But, yeah, somebody did briefly. He got some applause on that. Let's hear what Ben Carson's saying here.
$1 billion. And there are 48 million people involved. 40 million.
I keep wanting to laugh every time they go to him because it reminds me of that scene from Talladega Nights where the guy doesn't know what to do with his hands.
Oh yeah.
You can just see he looks so uncomfortable. And he keeps looking down at his hands like, well, I don't know what to do with these. So he just keeps fiddling around the whole time. And I can just feel Will Ferrell in my head.
And that's really a theme of a lot of the things that I'm talking about. How do we utilize our intellect rather than allowing the government to use its, quote, intellect in order to help us to be able to live healthier and better lives? It was never intended that the government should be in every aspect of our lives. This is a country that is up for and by the people.
Thank you, Dr. Carson. Governor?
And Ben is absolutely right in saying that what we don't need to do is to send more money to Washington, D.C. to fix this problem. And that's what you'll hear from Hillary Clinton, and I've already heard from her, is that send more money in Social Security, send more money in Medicare taxes, send more money for Medicaid, and that's going to solve the problem. What we know is we're living longer.
I wish there was a microphone in here live when we were talking about what we were saying earlier about him.
To reflect that.
Christy.
Make sure that people understand.
There's nothing being important said anyways. Who cares? So I was sitting there saying my back hurts right now watching this guy stand up at this podium because you can tell he's leaning on it.
There he is right there. He's leaning on it. Yeah.
Look at him. He's bent over I can tell he's not able to do it. I mean, his health is so bad. And David's like, his back is like, what do you think about that table trying to sit there and hold itself up? And all I could hear in my head is if Wood could speak, it would be like, the whole time.
Civil.
Oh my God! This isn't the joke. This debate is, anyways. Who cares?
Out there, what you saw was a parade of "I'll give you this for free, I'll give you that for free." Let me tell you, everybody, when they say they want to give it to you for free, keep your hand on your wallet because they're coming to you to pay for it. And that's why I think these ideas up here are great. And that's what we should have more discussions like this and less gotcha.
Senator, John,
I
want
to give you 30 seconds here.
Of course, he supports the police taking your car for free.
Oh, he also wants to throw you in jail forever for like a small nugget of marijuana.
Yeah.
And say that those people have no self-control.
Yeah.
You want to tell me about self-control? Every time I look at them, I'm laughing about that.
And on this issue, but Medicare in particular, it's important because they're going to demagogue what we're saying here tonight. Everyone up here tonight that's talking about reforms, I think, and I know for myself I speak for this, we're all talking about reforms for future generations. Nothing has to change for current beneficiaries. My mother's on Medicare and Social Security. I'm against anything that's bad for my mother. So we're talking about reforms for people like me and people like Senator Cruz, as he talked about.
It's the politics of mom. That's what it is.
The thing is, those moms are going to have to go through all that stuff if you become president.
I just want to know what he's going to do to protect apple pie, though. You know, he's going to protect mom.
A lot of people have jumped in here. I'd like to jump in. A lot of people have jumped in here.
You should say something about that.
You may not miss my apple pie. That's all I got to say.
Or peach cobbler.
Oh, man. I do.
That's World War III right there.
Oh, yeah, we would go to war.
And I agree with what Senator Rubio said. Every election we talk about this. Every election we talk about Medicare and Social Security.
What is your solution? Happens.
I would like to start with a basic. Let us actually go to zero-based budgeting so we know where the money is being spent. It's kind of basic. There's a bill sitting in the House that would actually pass and have us go to zero-based budgeting so we know where every dime of your money is being spent instead of only talking about how much more we're going to spend year after year after year. My point is this. While there are lots of good ideas for reform, we have never tackled the basics. And we finally need to tackle the basics to cut this government down to size and hold it accountable. Thank so you. Let's start by knowing where your money is being spent.
Just treat me like an adult. Don't force me to buy into your phony lie of a Social Security situation. Don't steal my money and then dole it out to me like I'm a child on allowance. I mean, that's just basically, just treat me with some respect. Don't take 15% of my income off the top.
Government's so small that the individual has a chance to thrive and prosper. I think, though, government's too big now. What you're going to see in Washington this week is the establishment Republicans have made an agreement with the president to raise the debt ceiling in an unlimited fashion. No limit to the debt ceiling raise. This is extraordinary. It's extraordinarily wrong. You'll see me on the floor of the Senate tomorrow filibustering this and saying, enough's enough, no more debt.
Governor Christie.
I want to talk to the folks at home. I want to ask you, are you fed up with how Washington taxes you? Are you fed up with how Washington wastes your money?
Is this an infomercial?
Are you concerned like I am that the debt and deficits of Washington...
I'm Chris Christie and I approve this message.
...America's future? Well, I got one more question for
I'm
you.
I'm Chris Christie and I hate this message.
Because if you are... You
Speaking
need to
of Fed...
...who's deadly serious about changing this culture.
I'm not fed up. I'm fed well.
I changed it in New Jersey. I'm deadly serious about doing this job the right way. I'm prepared. I'm tested. I'm ready.
I'm fed up with the fact that the government steals people's property without even charging them with a crime. But of course, he approves of that message.
Absolutely.
Notice no one in there clapped for that.
About the need to take on Washington. The natural next question is who actually has done so? Who actually has stood up not just to Democrats, but to leaders in our own party? When millions of Americans rose up against Obamacare, I was proud to lead that fight. When millions of Americans rose up against amnesty, I was proud to lead that fight. When millions of Americans rose up against Planned Parenthood, I was proud to lead that fight. If people are promising they're going to take on Washington and cronyism, you need to look to who has been doing it. In my family, my dad fled oppression in Cuba to come to America. Freedom is personal for me, and I will always keep my word and fight for freedom.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Fearing.
You know, every election, we hear a lot of talk. We hear a lot of good plans. We hear actually a lot of good intentions. But somehow, for decades, nothing really has changed. What we need now is a proven leader who has produced results. That's how you go from secretary to CEO. You lead and you produce results. I will cut this government down to size and hold it accountable.
This is the first time I've really actually made a lot of eye contact with the camera. And it feels like one of those commercials where, like, enough, 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 enough of this.
Demand a plan.
Yeah.
Going from secretary to CEO. Then she was fired. And so now she's running for president after she lost for senator.
Yeah.
But of course, she's going to beat Hillary because she's a woman, but she didn't beat Barbara Boxer when she was
And your support and your prayers, I will lead with the citizens of this great nation, the resurgence of this great nation.
Thank you, Mrs. Fielding.
Along with help from the CIA, Michael Hayden.
I just want to thank all my colleagues here for being civil, not falling for the traps. And I just also want to thank the audience for being attentive and noticing the questions and noticing the answers. And this is what I'm finding throughout America. People are waking up because it is going to be us who will determine the direction of our country. And it was made for we the people. We are the ones who decide who we are, and we should never give away the values and principles that made America into a great nation for the sake of political correctness.
Mr. Trump?
Our country doesn't win anymore. We used to win. We don't win anymore. We lose on trade. We lose with ISIS. We lose with one of the worst deals I've ever seen negotiated of any kind. That's our recent catastrophe with Iran. We don't win. Let me give you one quick example. These folks, CNBC, they had it down at three and a half hours. I just read today in the New York Times, $250,000 for a 30-second ad. I went out and said, it's ridiculous. Nobody, I could stand up here all night. Nobody wants to watch 3.5 or 3 hours. It was a big sacrifice, and I have to hand it to Ben. We called Ben. He was with me 100%. We called in. We said, that's it. We're not doing it. They lost a lot of money. Everybody said it couldn't be done. Everybody said it was going to be 3 hours, 3.5, including them. And in about 2 minutes, I renegotiated it down to 2 hours so we can get the hell out of here. Not bad.
Well, actually, I got to thank you for that, so I don't have to suffer through this bull anymore.
America great again. And thank you, everybody.
Just for the record, the debate was always going to be 2 hours. Senator Rubio, that's not right. Senator Rubio, absolutely not right. You know that that is not right. Senator Rubio.
Thank you. You know, America doesn't owe me anything. I have a debt to America I'll never repay. This isn't just the country I was born in. This is the nation that literally changed the history.
They were just denied that he had a debt he couldn't repay.
My parents in this country were able to give me the chance.
More people say that, like, you guys don't owe me anything. Like, you're damn right about that.
It's built on the universal dream.
Not just him, not everybody.
The fact that it's happened for so many people here throughout our history, that's what makes us special. But now for millions of Americans, it's slipping away. And we have a government and leaders in government that are completely out of touch. And that's why I'm running for president. Because we can't just save the American dream, we can expand it to reach more people and change more lives than ever before. And that's why tonight I'm asking you for your vote.
Thank you, Senator. Governor
dreams Bush. Come true.
America's at a crossroads. The D.C. politicians continue to make things worse.
Like your brother and father?
Of success, 32 years in business and 8 years as governor of the state of Florida.
My brother and my father before him have totally run this country.
In Tallahassee.
And then we brought in our friend Barack Obama to just drive it down.
Unifier, not a
cynical, vote for me, people. I'll make it even worse.
Exactly what
you
I
want a man to send your son to war? You vote Jeb Bush.
Again. Imagine a country where the middle
they
class
call him Jeb, and he earned it.
Income again. I know we can do this because we're still the most extraordinary country on the face of the earth. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor.
Divider in chief.
That should go down in history as like one of the best.
I know to a lot of people in the media, this is just a great big game, and we're the players. And we come out here and we do our thing. And sometimes we're held up in contempt by people who write columns. But I guarantee you, to every person on this stage, there's something deep inside of us that would cause us to give up our livelihoods and step out on this stage and
it's
fight.
Like three dinners inside Christie.
I've got five grandkids.
Well, you
I
know,
do not want to walk.
Because Jeb could be doing something really cool other than this.
Through the charred remains of a once great country
watching
called America.
Watching Supergirl.
And say, here you go.
Exactly.
$20 trillion of
debt. Like, man, I haven't watched my TiVo.
His favorite Marvel superhero.
Yeah, Marvel. Oh, he's a silly goose.
Think long and hard why we're here. And hopefully you'll know we're not here for ourselves. We, honest to God, are here to get this country back on track. I know this. I certainly am.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
Governor Kasich.
I was on Morning Joe at a town hall, and a young student stood up and said, can I still be idealistic? I said, absolutely, you can still change the world. And you know the old inscription, if you save one life, you've changed the world. Folks, we have a problem here with the leadership.
But you can't do anything till you pay off all those student loans.
We need to rebuild our families. We need to have stronger families.
You're
we need to know
as
who our neighbors
student
are.
Loan on you.
We need to know what gender they are. We can't even say he or she.
America is greater,
penguins.
Not from the top down. Oh yeah, we want to elect a good president, but America is great from the bottom up. And the bottom up is us in our families, in our communities, in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, these guys are definitely some of the bottoms
together,
that we found in America.
Totally confident that we will.
Bottom.
God bless America.
Hey, Chris Christie's down here on my boot.
There we go.
Tonight's debate
and Ronald Reagan.
Becky Quinn,
okay.
Harwood, Sharon Epperson.
That's it. That's their coverage.
We'd like to thank
we're going to play, Rob, we're going to play a couple of special reports. Is that correct? Yeah.
You got, Joe did one today on the runaway blimp.
Yes,
tying it into
yes.
what Alex covered over 10 years ago in 9/11, martial law, rise of the police state. But Joe, why don't you introduce this? And we also have a report from Leah McAdoo from today on location in St. Louis.
All right, coming up next, a report by myself about the runaway blimp. Let's go check out that report now.
This is Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com with some breaking news. A blimp that NORAD has become untethered. Now it says a blimp associated with NORAD surveillance of the East Coast has become untethered from its area in Maryland and is now flying over Pennsylvania. Now it's also dragging the cables that it came untethered from the ground from. They're around 1,600 feet long and they are now dragging across Pennsylvania. Now it says that there are approximately about 18,000 people without power in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. And NORAD has tweeted out that they want anybody to take footage and kind of give whereabouts of where they see that so they can help contain this blimp. Now, the military has already scrambled two F-16 fighter jets to kind of keep an eye on the situation as it unfolds. Now, what we're going to do, though, is we're actually going to cut to some footage where Alex Jones actually predicted that this kind of equipment would be used. Now, why do we need equipment like this? Well, ever since 9/11, our government has continued its profiling, its spying on American citizens who have committed zero crimes, all in the name of looking for terrorism and trying to stop these terrorist threats. And time again, we've seen reports where none of the interrogations that have been used at Guantanamo have ever led to one tangible piece of hardcore intelligence that have actually led to anything being stopped. And instead, we're torturing people. We're spying on American citizens via Facebook, through our cell phones, through our TVs, through microwaves, and they're using this to profile you. They're taking pictures of your face. They're finding out your patterns of what you look at, and they put this in a large database to see whether or not you're going to commit a crime. It's almost like watching the movie Minority Report. It's actually happening right now. And over 10 years ago, Alex Jones himself here, the leader of Infowars.com, predicted that this kind of technology would be implemented. And now this blimp has been set up over the East Coast to keep an eye on certain things that could possibly happen. Now let's go to the footage from the martial law 9/11 rise of the police state footage of Alex Jones, where he actually breaks down these blimps, what they can do, and really what it all means. And then after that, we'll go to some CNN footage where there's a high-ranking military official talking about this exact same thing.
Straight out of the Running Man, right here in New York, we have police state surveillance blimps that are sponsored by Fujifilm. This is only the beginning. In the future, every major city will have a high-altitude blimp tethered to a cable with ground-penetrating radar that looks right through your walls and gives the government a black-and-white image of the inside of your home. This entire war on terror is truly a pretext to launch a military-industrial complex takeover of the entire society. Everything is now going to shift into prisons and surveillance and security. We're going out of the free market economy into the fascist economy. The elite has used socialism to consolidate the people's wealth. Now that it's under their control, they're going to phase out all of the programs for the population, and it's all going to corporate welfare. This is the new America. Sound weapons. Police in black ski masks with automatic machine guns. And yes, helicopters swarming around surveillance blimps right here in New York City. And only in the new corporate fascist America would we have a blimp for police state purposes that is sponsored by a major company. And we found out that Fuji gave free bikes to all the police. And guess why? They sold the U.S. government, a bunch of different city governments, or trying to sell other city governments, these high-tech imaging systems, these face scanning systems to recognize who we are. So our face becomes a national ID card, and Fuji is on the cutting edge of that. Football teams had sponsors, or baseball teams. Then it was named stadiums after phone companies, Southwestern, Bell, Nextel. Now we have the Fuji-sponsored NYPD blimp.
As we've been talking to people who've spotted this blimp, as you can see, this is the first bit of video, it is losing altitude. So they're hoping perhaps it can land somewhere rural and the local authorities can get whatever intelligence and sensitive material that lies within this blimp. That said, General Mark Hertling, who is joining me now, who can talk a little bit more about what this blimp is, its uses. This is an aerostat blimp, and you're familiar with these because of, what, using them overseas?
Yeah, we've used these in Iraq and Afghanistan, Brooke, over the last couple of years. They are a great piece of kit. It's called an aerostat. J-Lens, which you heard the individual from NORAD say before, stands for Joint Land Elevated Network Sensor.
Well, as you can see, Alex Jones pretty much nailed it. He called this over 10 years ago in the video Martial Law 9/11 Rise of the Police State. Now, this leads to, you know, to question, what's going to happen next? What kind of technologies are going to pop up that are going to be used to spy on us, citizens who are just doing the right thing? You know, it's sickening to know that we're always being watched and our government is more scared of its citizens, law-abiding citizens mostly, than they are actual terrorist threats that are out there. Unlike the ISIS threats that we've made up, the ones that we're helping along to arm, giving them the money, the power to do what it is they need to help overthrow governments that our government, quite frankly, couldn't get the clearance to go do. You know, ISIS is bred from the Obama administration trying to go in and take out the Assad regime. And now we have ISIS out there doing that work for them. What else is going to happen? Well, if you want to find out what's going to happen in the future, continue to watch Infowars.com, because every day we're breaking new stories and letting you, the people, the American people, the people around the world, know what's going to happen, what's coming up, and what to look forward. Because there's a lot of people out there, they're going to see this and go, oh my God, that blimp sounds so neat. We'll be able to spot terrorists, things like that, not even thinking about the fact that they themselves are being spied on. So stay tuned for more reports at Infowars.com. I'm Joe Biggs.
Liver can be full of fatty deposits, built-up toxins, and even dangerous objects known as liver stones. We worked with the top developers in the field of detox to take tried and true herbs and other compounds known to safely cleanse the liver and fused it with the latest research and technological development on concentrating these ingredients to give you the maximum effect. Liver Shield is the only liver support product on the market that uses a patented Spigerex blend of powerful organic herbs that support detoxification. And when you visit InfoWarsLife.com, see the instructional video on how to do a 6-day liver detox. This isn't a game, and let me tell you, the results are dramatic. Liver Shield is totally organic and made of the safest high-quality herbs. But that said, you need to consult your physician before you do the full detox. Liver Shield can also be used daily by itself for overall upkeep of the liver. Secure your Liver Shield today exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com for the lowest price available. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for. You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
I want more candy. I want more video games. Why my life?
And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula.
This is an EPA Superfund site on fire. The leachate is leaking now. We can see it coming out. They are trying to scoop up as much of this material as they possibly can. 10,000 gallons of this stuff has now leaking, and they're trying to clean this up as fast as they can. This is a crazy scene down here at the Westlake landfill. Liam McAdoo reporting for Infowars.com. I know this is crazy, but we are back here out at the Westlake landfill. Wanted to go ahead and get some Geiger counter readings of our own, just for our own peace of mind. Really lucky to report that they're sticking around the high 40s, not going up to that threshold, that radiation threshold that we're warned about. Now, what you witnessed last night was the leachate leak here. And of course, leachate is liquid that moves throughout the landfill. And what it does is it's collecting those undesirable particulates that are in the landfill. It's not really a big deal unless, of course, it leaks out. It can cause pollution and it smells really, really bad. The issue with this landfill is that this is now a radioactive landfill. And so if you are collecting particulates of that radioactive material, and then, of course, the leachate tank suddenly leaks out 10,000 gallons of that fluid, that is not a good thing for this community. And that is why so many people are concerned that this is not a stable site. Now, what you're seeing over here, the crews are still trying to clean it up. They're still out here today. We did see some people actually wearing masks there when they were messing around with the dirt and pumping out the water and everything. Could just be from the smell. Now, This right here is actually the Bridgeton landfill. This is where you're getting those reports of the underground fire, which is basically an exothermic chemical reaction. It's causing a lot of heat there with those chemicals. And the Westlake landfill, it's all in the same compound. It's on the same acreage, so that the same area. The Westlake landfill that contains the Manhattan Project waste is just over that hill. So the radioactive materials, there's no barrier in between this landfill and the other landfill, and that is what is the big problem. They're trying to find out what exactly was in that leachate, what exactly here, what type of materials are coming out. Now, we reported yesterday that we were experiencing a burning sensation in our chest as well as our nose and throat. Felt very stuffed up this morning when we woke up, and what some of the residents have reported before and what they found is benzene, which is obviously a known carcinogen. It can cause birth defects as well as cancer. You've heard of that before, but that's probably, you know, what that smell was. I don't know for sure, but if I had to take a guess, that's what residents have found that's been happening in the past. And if you think about it, we had to experience that for one day. It was terrible. But there are families out here that have to experience that every single day. Children that wait at the bus stop just down the street every single day. So the issue is that we need to get this site under control. It's a big deal. And this Manhattan Project waste is dumped all over the city. Now, we're going to be putting out some more reports. We spoke with some of these families, some of the families that have been experiencing the cancer clusters, and what they're trying to do with the city to get this taken care of. So stay tuned to InfoWars.com for more reports.
And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News live coverage of the third GOP debate. We're going to have our final comments here in our last segment. And I guess, Jakari and Joe, one of the things that I looked at this, I thought it's just a total lack of outside-the-box thinking when it came to Medicaid or came to taxation or whatever. I guess I should say a lack of outside of Washington, D.C. thinking, because it's the same thing that we hear every election from every politician, whether they're running for president or they're running for Congress. That is all this micromanagement of income tax rates, you know, what income levels are we going to tax people, what rates and all this kind of stuff. And nothing about really fixing the fundamental problems, nothing about addressing the income tax. We didn't hear anything at all about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Of course, we were told that we were going to hear about that
right
after it was passed. We're now 24 days tomorrow, as people see this, 24 days and counting. They have not allowed us to know anything about this because we are not the stakeholders. The stakeholders are the guys who are pulling the strings on these puppets that were on the stage tonight. But I think I want to get your comments on what you thought about this particular debate and what CNBC did with it.
Well, as we often talk about, you know, it's the same template as Fiorina pointed out multiple times. She was talking about how they just keep saying the same things that they've been saying for the last election cycles. But at the same time, nobody's offering any real type of policy change or I would go in here, I'd fix this, I'd do that. They talk about the problem. Everybody knows there's a problem.
Yeah.
People who don't watch this debate know that there's a problem just because they go through it on their daily lives. We all agree that there's a problem, but very few people had any type of answer, and the answers they did have sometimes weren't exactly the best.
No solutions. Raising the age of
ridiculous.
Social Security
I'm sorry. That's
and,
completely
and changing
ridiculous.
The rates and the income levels, that's not a solution.
Look, I just want to get serious with you guys. I came into this, and I had some real concerns. An issue, one particular issue, I just wanted some answers about, and that's the direction our country is going with fantasy football. And we brought that up today in the GOP debate.
That's right.
I mean, by God.
I think everybody at the Wingstop in Buffalo Wild Wings are, you know, sighing a great sigh of relief.
And that's just it. You know, Chris Christie had a good performance, and that's what it is a performance, and I guess that's one of the things people are looking for. Of course, you know, he still remains an authoritarian jerk who is in violation of the Constitution most of the time. He wants to lock everybody up. But he had a good performance tonight. I think Rubio had a good performance. True. Clearly, CNBC was coming after him. It showed the coordination of CNBC with the Jeb Bush people because it was exactly the talking points that came out of the meeting with his mommy and daddy and their donors this weekend. They were going to come after Rubio for being an absentee, inexperienced senator like Obama, and he was ready for that, and he deflected that criticism. He deflected the criticism coming after him for being in debt personally and all that sort of thing. So he had a good performance too.
I'm not really a big fan of Cruz, but I thought he handled himself quite exceptionally. And at one point in time, I thought he was literally just going to walk off the stage, and I was hoping he was going to do that, and I was hoping that everyone would follow suit and walk right off and go, you know what, this is a complete and total joke. You guys have wasted 2 hours of my life that I'll never get back. Now let's go work on some of these issues, and maybe the next debate we can actually talk about something real besides fantasy football.
Come on.
It was ridiculous, and I do echo that point. I think this is actually going to make people sympathetic to some of the people who are on the stage. You know, people who have really no interest in politics or the GOP, they're going to see how CNBC handled this debate and almost give sympathy to the people on the stage because they had to endure this just ridiculous show by the pundits there.
Well, I think it was that whole fantasy football thing. There was a reference to that because Rubio had done a take on fantasy football, talking about Bush and Carson, I think, and then talking about it being real football players. Okay, so that was a reference, and that was another example of the tight coordination of CNBC with the Bush campaign. I think also the fact that they gave so much time to John Kasich. That was absolutely amazing. Here's a guy who's polling zero, zero in the polls, and look at how much time he got. They completely ignored Trump, and then that thing at the end where Trump said, hey, I negotiated down from 3 hours to 2 hours, and they said, nah, never happened. That's a lie. Trump was telling the truth about that because there were multiple articles throughout the week with Trump and with Carson and with the Rand Paul campaign all saying, look, if you guys, you're saying you're going to do 3 hours or 2.5 hours, whatever, we're not going to do that. You're going to cut it down to 2 hours. You're going to have an opening and a closing statement, or we're not coming.
It seemed like the moderators got most of their bullet points from, like, the gossip column.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
None of them were truth-based, factual whatsoever. Each one of those candidates was able to sit there and go, you know what, you're lying completely. And not one of them could stand up with any fact, any kind of proof that what they just said was true. They just they ran through some kind of, you know, what are those fake papers, the Inquisitor or something like that, and flipped through it and saw some, you know, alien coming down off of a space shuttle or whatever like that.
Batboy.
And that's what they just
use. We're told you have Batboy in your basement. It's ridiculous.
I mean,
well, there's going to be a lot of fact checking. And I think one of the metrics, you know, because everybody's going to say, well, you know, with his tax rates and all this.
Well, Drudge is already out. Drudge has already released a poll. 72% apparently say Trump has won this, which I don't know how. He didn't really say much.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was the Kasich like show. And Chris Christie had a lot to say. Well, they allowed him to say a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the metrics that people are going to do when they go back and they look at this, they're going to try to do some number crunching. But I think one of the numbers that needs to be crunched is to look and see how, and they do this with every debate. But I think it'll be very interesting in this debate to see what percentage of time was given to which candidates.
Right.
Rand Paul had,
Rand Paul had the least amount.
It was just absolutely amazing how much time they gave to Kasich.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, I forgot even existed the first two debates.
Yeah, that's
right. Not until this one am I like, wait, who is this guy? This tall guy standing over there.
You know, it's also going to be interesting. I don't recall. Maybe you guys do recall. I don't recall Rubio talking about this budget deal, you know, extending the debt ceiling. Okay, Cruz criticized it. Rand Paul said two times he's going to filibuster it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cruz will probably join him with that, probably vote against it. But it seems to me like Rubio was very quiet about that.
It'll be interesting to see how you made that point during the debate. I can't recall if he actually said anything about it.
Yeah,
I remember the last debate, the one prior to this, previous to this. I mean, he actually came out at the very end, and they pulled him aside, brought him over to the desk to speak to the moderators. Like, you know, what if you could do anything, what would it be? He said, well, I would definitely ramp up security at the airports. I'd like to get a lot more TSA in there, a lot more security.
Oh,
that's great. A great idea for someone like you who never has to fly commercially like I do. Because I'm sorry, I'm tired of guys like Chris Christie filling me up every time I try to fly from here to Denver.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And, of course, the other senator that's in the race on the Republican side is Lindsey Graham. And then the earlier junior varsity debate, which we did not cover here, he was just going down a laundry list. There wasn't a Defense Department program that he didn't want to give a massive increase to.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, just as they were coming on here, the CNBC crew said, yeah, Mitt Romney just tweeted out or contacted us and said, that's my man for president. Boy, you know, that's exactly what we're going to get. They love that kind of thing. That's it for tonight's news. Thanks for joining us. This has been our live coverage of the third GOP debate. I'm David Knight with Jakari Jackson and Joe Biggs. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Carbon Ponzi scheme champion Al Gore has begun yet another highly publicized tweet about climate change. The Daily Caller reports a new study by the Harvard School of Public Health claims carbon dioxide has a direct and negative impact on human cognition and decision making. In response, Al Gore immediately tweeted, important piece by Joe Rahm at Think Progress on the direct negative impact CO2 has on human cognition and decision making. Essentially, the Harvard study exposed 24 humans to a 6-day regimen of volatile organic compounds and varying degrees of carbon dioxide. The study found that cognitive scores decreased as CO2 levels rose. Will this be the catalyst that brings the climate change deniers to their knees? Doubtful.
Together with the various forcings and temperature increases from the individual greenhouse gases, we will see that what we end up with is a fourfold overstatement of the rate of increase in global temperature that was actually observed if we use the IPCC's methods to calculate what the warming would have been, a fourfold exaggeration. The conclusion from this is that we can explain the warming by other methods. Not very much warming is going to happen, and therefore one should be very careful before spending money on cap and trade, because even if we were to shut down the entire global economy for 23 years, all you would forestall is 1 Fahrenheit degree of global warming, even if the UN is right in estimating the amount of warming from CO2. Therefore, the correct policy is to have the courage to do nothing. You will lose nothing thereby. There are many other problems to address. I would recommend you address those and not this.
The classified operation to blanket the skies with toxic aerial sprays, aka chemtrails, has been hidden from the public for 60 plus years.
Any Navy or Marine plane that can carry a bomb can be provided with spray equipment. The auxiliary fuel tanks on attack-type aircraft can be converted to anti-crop spray tanks.
You put another kind of pollution, sulfur dioxide, up to orbit the cover of the atmosphere. The sky won't be really blue in the way it is now anymore, but it would block out some of the sun's heat so that we wouldn't have to take the difficult steps to stop spewing all this global warming pollution into the atmosphere.
These so-called benevolent chemtrails have been linked in peer-reviewed studies to the skyrocketing widespread increase in Alzheimer's and autism. two major debilitating diseases with severe cognitive impacts that remain incurable and still have doctors and scientists scratching their heads. In a nutshell, Al Gore isn't a problem solver. Al Gore's quack science.
Some of the models suggest to Dr. Maslowski that there is a 75% chance that the entire North Polar ice cap during some of the summer months could be completely ice-free within the next 5 to 7 years.
Not only did that not happen, but we actually have more ice in that particular location.
Monsanto's secret geoengineering operation and the collusion of the U.S. military are responsible for a very real dumbing down of America. John Bound for InfoWars.com.
General, what do you think about the FBI saying that there's a terror alert on Monday about a potential Fort Hood situation?
The police are shoving people, shoving Alex, shoving the crowd.
Here we go, folks. I'm being assaulted.
Whether it's the radio show, the news websites, documentary films, or the nightly news, InfoWars is the tip of the spear.
Is this another false flag stage attack to take our civil liberties and put more homeland security while sticking the hands down on the pants on the streets?
It's up to us to set brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere. And that's what PrisonPlanet.tv is designed to do.
You watch, the Assad regime is going to be blamed or accused of using chemical weapons against the so-called rebels.
What we see now is a war against reality. It's a war against the truth.
It's more vital than ever that supporters of freedom become members of PrisonPlanet.tv and share their membership with up to 11 friends and family. Visit InfoWarsNews.com today. Become a member, share your membership, and help take the InfoWar to the next level.
Here is a clip of one of many reports her and Josh Owens have filed outside St. Louis at the big Manhattan Project site. Now, I told him, I said, I don't want you going to this unless you really volunteer. It's not my idea. It was Leanne's, but she's a tough cookie. She went out there, and it's been burning for 2 years, but now it's getting into the radioactive area. The good news is it was only about double what the normal background radiation is, and that could happen on a sunny day with the Geiger counters. Jakari found fish that had 10 times the normal, 14 times the normal in San Francisco. The media didn't believe it, sent reporters out there. This is 2 years ago, and they said, yeah, we found that. The Army went and confirmed Jakari's readings. We never claimed to be professional, you know, radiologists. We had professional Geiger counters and a field meter, and we just, you know, that were calibrated, and we showed the numbers. And then the Army went out and confirmed it, and it caused a debate. So here's a clip of one of her reports when she was right outside the fire zone within 100 yards yesterday. Here it is.
I just got a phone call from Dawn Chapman. She's the founder of Just Moms STL as well as St. Louis Radwaste Legacy.com. She called to let us know that right now the landfill is experiencing a leachate leak. It's huge. Dawn, what's going on?
There's 10 to 11,000 gallons of leachate leaking right now back in the field down there. Leachate is very toxic. It's from the landfill. It's created from the burning Superfund materials and garbage that are occurring right next to you. We understand that a force main broke and the leachate 10 to 11,000 gallons of it leaked. That's what you're smelling right now. You're smelling the actual odors and emissions from that leachate.
Right, and we're not going to be able to stay here too long because I'm literally feeling burning sensation in my chest. So this leachate, you call it dump juice, basically. But this is the radioactive material that's here in this landfill now. Leak 10,000 gallons.
And by the way, I mean, the crew, you know, went out there. I think they need respirators, not just masks. See the locals on with paper masks. I guess that might help a little bit. But the issue here is these things are all over the country. We're spent a few minutes with Leanne. She's followed a bunch of reports. Some are going back to Max Kaiser of MaxKaiser.com. But this, for me, is indicative of the establishment not caring. Look at Fukushima. Look at all these other examples. Leanne, your Skype was breaking up too bad earlier. Thank you for spending so much time out there. I've kind of told you I want you to get out of the area, but you're still back there on top of the radioactive hill of waste that's starting to leak. Leanne McAdoo.
Well, we actually, Alex, that's right. We are back here at the Westlake landfill. I know you told us to fall back, but we wanted to come get some Geiger counter readings of our own, just for our own personal peace of mind. Happy to report that on this side of the perimeter, everything is fine. We're getting them in the high 40s. Of course, we'll probably be fine. The issue is for the families that have to be here every single day encountering that toxic material. Now, as you can see behind me, this is the leachate. This is where the leachate is stored, and it's leaked more than 10,000 gallons yesterday. What happens with leachate, it's kind of a water that's pumped through the landfill, and it absorbs some of the undesirable particulates in the landfill, which a lot of people complain about it because, you know, it'll cause pollution, things like that. The issue here is that this particular landfill, there is radioactive material. So this is what the families are concerned about, is how are you allowing this to, you know, leak into the air and things like that if we know that there is now a radioactive material here on this site.
Well, Leanne, and I talked to you privately earlier. You were pretty emotional like we're talking to people with their deformed children. There's neighborhoods around this. Report that to folks.
You know, it has been a very emotional here. We've got some reports that are going to be coming up later where we actually got to sit down with some of these families. And there is a huge cancer cluster in the area. It's not from this particular landfill, but it's from the same Manhattan Project waste that has been dumped all around this city in many different areas. And so we've spoken with people who were actually involved there at Mallinckrodt Chemical Works. Their parents died. Their children have died. And then also we are speaking with people who were playing around in the creek in the 80s, when a lot of the material in the soil, the sediment, was being moved and shuffled around when they were trying to create new subdivisions. Little did they know that there was 240,000 industrial waste barrels buried underneath that ground where the waste was from the Manhattan Project. And so they were just pushing the sediment around. These families, they're planting gardens in their yard, thinking they're doing good, feeding their children fresh fruit and vegetables. And now there is a huge cancer cluster in the area. This area alone has 300,000 people and 45 cases of appendix cancer, which, just to put that in perspective, you should see maybe one in 100,000. Here, it's outrageous. All sorts of cancers, like I said, birth defects, autoimmune disease.
Sure.
And so we need to take this seriously because these Manhattan Project sites are all over the nation.
Well, exactly. And again, you've got 90%+ of the 440-something reactors worldwide leaking. I'm going to ask Max Kaiser about this in a moment. I know he's been passionate on it. We've got all these other research reactors at universities that are leaking. And now they just cover it up when it leaks. The EPA, as you know, you reported yesterday, is just saying, oh, we're not worried about it. It's no big deal. And just what is the attitude of the establishment to dump this type of garbage? You filed 5 reports. I know you've got some other interviews you're going to do, and then you're going to come on back, Leanne, because we don't want you to, you and Josh, to suffer the same fate as those locals. I think the bottom line is people should research where they live.
Right.
And try to not live close to these toxic landfills, even if the government says it's nutritious.
Absolutely. And that's what the families are fighting for, is just to keep better track of this. So people can know if they're moving into these communities, they didn't even know that there was the Manhattan Project was being worked on in St. Louis until a few years ago. These families, they wouldn't have bought their homes here if they knew that they were going to build right next to radiological waste. No, the community was not told. If they had lead paint in their homes, they would have to be told, but they had no idea. And so it's just very frightening. And like I said, you know, this is all across the country. And a lot of people don't understand why they're coming up with these rare cancers, why they're 30 years old, 35 years old, dying from cancer, or why their children are born with brain tumors, you know, that you see in 70-year-old men. So it's a pretty big deal, and they're just trying to get the government and the state government to do something about it, because this is going to happen to this next generation of people with this waste right now.
That's right, Leanne. And be sure, I know you already have this set up, don't let us bug you with these live broadcasts, because we can air all this later in the week and next week. Get those interviews with those parents. I mean, Fukushima happened 4+ years ago. They said we were conspiracy theorists to say that it would hurt children. Now they admit the rates of cancer, thyroid cancer in children are some of the highest in the world within 100 miles of Fukushima. So this attitude of just calling people conspiracy theorists is such a serious crime by these elites. And it really frightens me to think who's running things. Leanne McAdoo and Josh Owens, great job. When are you planning to come back to Austin?
We'll be flying back Thursday night, so we'll see you there Friday. I'll be doing the InfoWars Nightly News.
All right, well, let's have you and Josh in studio on Friday, Leanne. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligrams, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.